Just wait.
So I know that there are people who think like, oh, you know, do this and, you know, that I'm going to be locked up or whatever. I ain't worried about that. That you heard the truth and the truth shall make you free. I ain't even worried about that. Like, not.
Did some reconnaissance on the ground, speaking to an organization there that's gearing up to for resistance and protest. I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised to see the community coming together. We're like, wait a minute, which operation are we at? And as it turns out, because we're like, well, this is kind of MAGA coded, right? Saw the American flag or whatever, but these are resistance protesters. They're planning an operation that we're going to follow them on. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but it's called Operation Pull Up.
The FACE Act is constitutional and properly applied. In this case, it certainly is, because Lemon and the Black Lives Matter crew said they were there to make them uncomfortable and shut them down and basically bully them into their political form of thinking. When you do that, you are engaging a conspiracy against someone's rights.
The president just arrested two journalists. Now I think that he's almost in double down mode. I thought he was in de-escalate mode. Now he's having journalists arrested.
Well, he arrested journalists for committing crimes and then filming themselves committing crimes and then talking and admitting on camera to committing those crimes. So, you know, just because you say you're a journalist doesn't mean he violated the FACE Act in 18 U.S. Code Section 241, among others.
The Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, FACE Act, makes it unlawful to use force, threats of force, or physical obstruction to intentionally injure, intimidate, or interfere with anyone exercising their religious beliefs at a house of worship. This law protects all faith communities equally, churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, and others.
How did they use force or intimidation? Fundamental part of the mens rea of that statute. How?
Quote, your parents are Nazis, end quote, was yelled directly in the faces of children while accusing parents of being Nazis who would burn in hell. Quote, this ain't God's house, this is the house of the devil, end quote, was shouted by protester William Kelly. Accusations that the church was, quote, harboring killers, end quote, directed at the congregation. In the chaos, some protesters reportedly shouted, quote, shoot, end quote, amid fears of guns, contributing to panic that felt like a, quote, mass shooting, end quote, to one victim as stairs were blocked to prevent parents from reaching Sunday school children.
Don Lemon said on camera that the purpose of the event that he was actively participating in was to traumatize people. And he said that is good. That is what that is for.
Watch this guy here. Look, he's hugging his kid. And, you know, I just imagine it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here, but that's what protesting is about. And so
you heard what some of the folks said in there, you know, that this is, they shouldn't be there and, you know, they shouldn't be uncomfortable and this is our house and whatever. That's what protesting is about, is to make people uncomfortable. You may not like it.
He said he knew a secret. He knew about what they were doing in advance. He wouldn't say it on camera.
Yeah,
he served coffee to his fellow activists in there. He violated the FACE Act. He conspired against my friends.
It's a
very important point. You cannot claim First Amendment protections while you actively violate the First Amendment rights of others.
The FBI and Bloomfield police arrested Nicholas Melendretos yesterday. The U.S. Attorney's Office says he is the man seen on this surveillance video hurling the device at the main entrance of Temple near Tamid early Sunday morning. Luckily, it did not cause any major damage, but if convicted, he's facing a maximum of 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
Federal prosecutors say he shared a manifesto containing threats to attack a synagogue and Jewish people. Titled When Swords Collide, part of it reads, I am the attacker, and I would like to introduce myself. I am Muslim with so many regrets, but I can assure you this attack is not one of them.
Violence and intimidation directed at synagogues and other houses of worship are not only attacks on individuals. They are attacks on an entire faith community, and they intimidate and deter people from exercising their protected First Amendment rights. Houses of worship in America must remain sanctuaries of peace, not places of fear. The Civil Rights Division has a duty to protect every community's right to gather and worship without harassment, threats, or violence.
He also...
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, 3rd of February, 2026. We got a lot of news for you today, including the truly inexplicable reaction from Donald Trump to the Epstein document drop. It seems like at every pass with this Epstein debacle, this saga, Donald Trump has taken the most confusing, nonsensical path. We'll get to it. I'll show you the videos of him responding to Epstein. We'll start with that. We do still have a lot of Epstein stuff to talk about. We'll definitely be talking about Epstein with Jay Dyer. I also plan on showing the full 14 and a half minute video that I put out on X called The Eighth Front. I showed the first 5 minutes on the Alex Jones Show yesterday. But I think I'll play the whole thing. So I think it's important to not just play and understand what we're looking at, but I can elaborate on some of it on the other sides. Excuse me, on the other side. So I'll probably do that in the next segment. Jay Dyer in the next hour. And then the third hour, I will definitely be opening up the phone lines for your calls because it's been a while since I've taken calls. I've been jumping from show to show a little bit by necessity. But we're going to open up the phone lines because I have a feeling people are desperate, eager to sound off on Epstein and everything that we've learned from the Epstein document release. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 3rd of February, 2026. Former Jill Biden ex-husband arrested in wife's murder. William Stevenson, reportedly former First Lady's Jill Biden's ex-husband, was arrested and charged with murdering his current wife, authorities said Tuesday. Stevenson, 77, was taken into custody Monday and has been charged with first-degree murder and the death of Linda Stevenson, said the Newcastle County Police in Delaware. Former First Lady Jill Biden's ex-husband, William Stevenson. Very disturbing. Police were called on December 28th concerning a domestic dispute to a home where they found Linda Stevenson unresponsive, authorities said at the time. After being pronounced dead, her body was turned over to the Delaware Division of Forensic Science for an autopsy. They did not list a cause of death, however. It's just very strange. It's very strange that the ex-husband of the former First Lady apparently murdered his wife. Just crazy stuff going on here, okay? Meanwhile, House unveils deposition dates for Bill Hillary Clinton in Jeffrey Epstein probe. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee unveiled deposition dates for former President Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on Tuesday. The Clintons agreed Monday to testify before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform in its probe of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The former president will appear before the committee on February 27th, while Hillary Clinton will testify on February 26th, House Oversight Chair James Comer said in a press release. That's good to see. Excited to hear their testimony. I imagine it will be out in the open, right? This isn't going to be a behind closed doors thing, as far as I understand. It will be a public hearing. So that's very interesting. And we can't wait to hear them lie through their teeth once again and get away with it, because that's what tends to happen. Meanwhile, U.S. military shoots down Iranian drone that, quote, aggressively approached aircraft carrier. A U.S. warplane shot down an Iranian drone that aggressively approached the USS Abraham Lincoln, according to U.S. Central Command. Hours later, Iranian forces harassed a U.S. merchant vessel in the Strait of Hormuz and threatened to board it, according to Central Command. The incidents occurred as tensions in the region are high, with President Donald Trump weighing strikes on Iran. And once again, we're in this position where I'm not sure we can do anything against Iran. I mean, their ballistic missile program, we saw it on display last year. And there's not a hell of a lot we could do to stop one of those hypersonic, whatever they, however they phrase them. Keep having people being like, they're not technically hypersonic. All right, whatever they are, okay? The missiles that fly significantly faster than sound and are unstoppable by any form of defense we have yet devised. Those missiles, those are the ones I'm talking about, and they can take out aircraft carriers. One Iranian missile destroyed 27 buildings in Israel last year. What are we going to do to defend against that on our aircraft carriers? One successful hit from one of those missiles, that's thousands of American soldiers dead. So what are we doing here? And apparently, Iran launched this one missile approaching aggressively to an aircraft carrier. We shot it down. Then they sent another one. They sent another drone, not a missile, a drone rather. And then they shot another one. It's almost like they're teasing us. It's almost like they're going, oh, you're going to start something, are you? Well, go ahead then. Let's get going. If you're going to keep menacing us, let's go. They're probably just sick of this interminable saber rattling, menacing. They really don't have too much to fear as far as I can tell, because there's not a hell of a lot we can do without getting our resources in the region completely obliterated. So what's the plan here exactly? I don't really know. The incident occurred as tensions in the Middle East are high, with President Donald Trump weighing potential military strikes against the Islamic Republic. The Shahad 139 drone, quote, aggressively approached the aircraft carrier with unclear intent. The Abraham Lincoln was about 500 miles from Iran's southern coast when the unmanned aircraft unnecessarily maneuvered towards the ship, Hawkins said. U.S. forces were operating in international waters and took de-escalatory measures, but the drone continued to fly towards the aircraft carrier, he said. So again, Iran is basically just saying, you know what, we're not going to do talks with America anymore. We've tried diplomacy. It's not really working. If you want to keep menacing us, then maybe we'll have to do something about it. I think they're feeling very confident. I think China is feeling very confident and is sending weapon shipments to Iran. And at the same time, is this really the type of thing you want to try doing right now when, at least in my corner of the world, everybody is obsessively pouring through 3 million documents that show that the Israeli elite have been manipulating this country and raping children for a very long time? Like, you haven't even tried to convince us that war with Iran is good for America. Like, this is why this whole thing is so bizarre. Back in the day, they would fly planes into buildings in order to get us into war, or they'd at least come up with supposedly legitimate reports from the UN talking about weapons of mass destruction to strike fear in the heart of Americans and convince us that it's either now or never. It's either over there or over here. So we got to go to war. They tried to do that a little bit with Iran, with the 2 weeks until a nuclear weapon, the same story they've been pushing for 30 years at this point. Nobody's really buying it, but it was enough sort of material there for people to fake that they were really concerned. Oh my gosh, you know, we're all going to die from a nuclear missile that Iran doesn't have the delivery system for. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous, but at least they ostensibly, at least like that's like a vague enough thing where it's like, well, they're a rogue state. You don't want them to have a nuclear weapon. They could kill, you know, millions of people like that. So, okay, we'll take out their nuclear sites. But we did that. And then for the last 9 months, it's been like, okay, that was the final excuse. Like, that was the last sort of option that you had, card to play. You played it. You either had a successful mission and destroyed the nuclear armaments, which means that we don't have to worry about that for a little while, or you didn't, which means the whole thing was pointless in the first place. Either way, what is the excuse now? So for the last 9 months or so, we've just been menacing and harassing and threatening Iran for no reason other than that Israel wants us to. Like, they're not even trying to convince the American people this is something necessary for America. It's just like, no, this is just what we're doing now. It's just, this is the point of our existence at this point. Sure, we've got entire states all but declaring secession and refusing federal oversight and in a state of abject insurrection. Hey, we're not going to really deal with that. Sure, it's now been revealed that there's a massive criminal power structure using sexual blackmail to run the world through places like Davos, and the whole system is just replete with criminals. Not doing anything about that. No, all of our energy, all of our focus has to be on Iran for some reason. And again, I mean, the frustration about this is really overwhelming at this point, to where it's like, it really just makes no sense. Okay, so yeah. Iran risks Trump ire with new diplomatic demands and provocations. Yeah, they're basically sick of Trump, I think. In my opinion, they're just like, we really, you know, I think from the Iranian perspective, what I'm seeing is they were like kind of willing to work with Trump and Israel. And I mean, last year, there were some interesting things where we like pretended to, that Iran was attacking Israel, but they sort of communicated where it was going to be. So they made sure the damage wasn't, like, they've been willing to play ball and sort of manage the conflict so that it doesn't spiral out of control. And I think they're kind of done with that. They're like, we keep playing ball. We keep trying to reach agreements, and Trump just screws us over every time on behalf of Israel. And that just like keeps happening. It really does. And we've been documenting it each time one of these developments occurs, where basically Iran is convinced to stay out of the conflict for a long time, thinking that it's all about the nuclear program, which they're willing to deal with. They have this sort of as a negotiation tactic, a strategy, or like one of the attributes they can manipulate is their desire to get a nuclear weapon. So they're like, all right, well, we'll make that deal. We'll make an agreement. You guys can leave us alone. We'll agree not to do a nuclear weapon. We can make that deal. And they get concessions on the basis of that. And then when it comes time to actually do the talks, America / Israel goes, yeah, you know what? It's about the ballistic missile program now. Actually, we don't care about the nuclear weapons. We want the ballistic missile program to be destroyed. And to Iran, that's like, okay, so a huge chunk of our, you know, national product, the missile systems that they sell to other countries as well as depend on for their own safety, the literal missile cities they have underground with hundreds of thousands of missiles already, you expect them to just voluntarily destroy all of that on the promises of peace from the Israelis and the Americans. Oh, okay. They're definitely. So just every time Iran seems to be like willing to do something, you don't want nuclear? Let's talk. You know, we can make an agreement. We can come to some sort of deal. And then there's like, actually, it's about ballistic missiles now. And Iran's like, okay, never mind then. Never mind. So it seems like they're just getting sick of this and are now just like, oh, you want to have your aircraft carriers here? Well, enjoy the drones then, because we're just going to be pestering you until you either leave or do something about it. So I think Trump looks incredibly weak on the world stage at this point. I think they're just messing with him, essentially. I think he's been led down the primrose path by his advisors to thinking that, you know, what he was achieving in the Middle East was, you know, some foundation for a long-lasting peace. I mean, if they don't start a war with Iran, this will all be for nothing. So he's just being slow walked into that, and it's just embarrassing. It really is. I forgot we were doing the Daily Dispatch. Sorry, I got distracted here. Let's finish up the Daily Dispatch. Elon Musk combines SpaceX and XAI into single company valued at $1.25 trillion, which is pretty interesting. And I wonder if that is going to mean that we're going to have servers in space, since a lot of the problems with servers are because they're on Earth. And whether it's cooling or anything like that, they're going to build server farms in space now. I wonder if that's what Musk is going to do. Finally, we have this. Americans demand mass deportations back ICE overwhelmingly. Results show that by a 2-to-1 margin, 61 to 34%, voters back the deportation of illegal immigrants with a massive 73% agreeing that crossing the border illegally constitute breaking the law. So yeah, three quarters of the American people understand that the border has to be protected, illegal immigrants have to be deported, and that, you know, that's what ICE has to do. Why we can't get that done? God only knows. I mean, we're in bizarro world democracy right now, where the things that the whole population wants will not happen, will never happen. We cannot get them to happen. The things that a vanishingly small minority demands, those things happen. Okay? The things that 75, 80% of Americans agree on, we cannot get it done for some godforsaken reason. Voter ID is another one. 80+% of Americans, every time they're polled, say, yeah, voter ID to vote. You need your ID to vote. That should be obvious. 80% of people. Not happening. Deportations. 75-80% of people understand it, get it. If you watch the media, you would think that 99% of people in America think that ICE are Nazis. That's because they control the media. It's a complete deliberate misapprehension being foisted on you. I think maybe we'll start there. That's actually a great place to start. Because I've got a couple videos of people debunking the lies about ICE. And we can start with the girl doing this, clip number 40. And this, of course, in response during the Grammys, I guess, Billie Eilish said no one's illegal on stolen land. And in response to that, the Native American tribe that her house sits on the land they once owned were like, oh, okay, well, we'd love that land back then, Miss Eilish, if you're on stolen land. But they don't mean any of this. None of this means anything. So here's a girl on TikTok explaining this in a very polite and thorough way. Clip 40.
Today I heard a girl in my class talking to a classmate saying, well, they should just give us our land back. In reference to deportation, I look over, this girl is white and blonde. The whole nobody is illegal on stolen land argument is bullshit. First of all, not one single place, not one single city, country, anything on this earth is owned by its original owners. Second of all, the part of Mexico that is now the U.S. was bought. Third of all, the Native American land that was stolen was conquered, which is kind of just how the world worked at the time. And by the way, Native American tribes conquered land from each other. So I don't see you talking to other Native Americans saying, oh, you should give your land back to that tribe, because you don't care. If no one is illegal on stolen land, just go to North Korea, see how that theory holds up. Go there with no papers. You'll probably be stuck there forever if you're not killed. No one is illegal on stolen land, but I'm gonna call the cops when you're on my lawn. Additionally, every single nation on this earth, there is not a single one that does not practice deportation. And the only country with people that are whining and complaining about it, for whatever reason, is the US. I just think it's absolutely wild that Democrats are living in the United States of America and all they want to do is divide. All they think about is race. That's all they think about. They see people supporting deportation and automatically assume, oh, so you hate Mexicans? Babe, why do you think Mexicans are the only people being deported? That's on you for that assumption. If you don't want to live in a safe country, go ahead. We'll let anyone in. We won't do background checks. We won't kick anyone out. See who comes in. See who comes in and takes advantage of us, because deportation is how we keep our country safe. And no, I am not saying that all illegal immigrants are unsafe. Most of them are very good people. But what I am saying is you cannot just let hundreds of thousands of people into this country without any background checks, any vetting, anything. You guys scream, oh, guns should be harder to get. And yeah, they should, but you don't think that it should be hard to get into the country. Make it make sense.
There's none of that. There's no making anything make sense here. These are liberals we're talking about. Now, this video I thought was fantastic. Clip 42. This is a rapid debunking of all of the biggest anti-ICE hoaxes. And this is great. I think you should send this to your leftist friends or anybody that thinks ICE is bad. I mean, these are all of the biggest ones that I see shared over and over again. This guy just debunks them one after the other. And I think you could go in and, like, look at the details, and it's actually worse than he says, but I think he does a fantastic job. Clip 42, let's watch.
Now listen, I'm about to waterboard you with this. If you do not believe you're in the middle of a propaganda war, I love you, and you can be as mad at me as you want. You're wrong, okay? So listen, I'm going to rapid fire these. Here we go. Right here. Number one, no, this is not a picture of an 8-year-old girl who died in ICE custody under the Trump administration's heartless dictatorship. It happened in 2023, as reported by the New York Times, under the Biden administration. But now it's getting millions of views and being labeled as happening now. Number two, no, this is not a photo of a 5-year-old put in a cage because of the current administration calls people illegal. Nope. Snopes reports after millions of views, it was discovered that was a photo taken at a protest staged in front of Dallas City Hall. The parents brought the kid to the protest. He was in the cage for about 30 seconds and he cried because he couldn't figure out how to get out. Number three, no, this is not a video of ICE agents, quote unquote, drive by macing people for no reason. That went mega viral. I watched the entire video myself. They were throwing things at law enforcement vehicles and the guy maced the guy that was throwing things at law enforcement vehicles. Number four, no, this is not a picture of a woman whose hand was shot off by ICE agents firing rounds at mourners, as was claimed, and it got millions of views. Nope, she was rioting and obstructing law enforcement, and as you can see right here, she picked up a flashbang before it detonated and injured her own hand, blew part of it off. Next one, no, this is not a picture of a 5-year-old boy arrested by ICE. As reported, the boy's father abandoned him while he was fleeing arrest. That is a picture of ICE agents following protocol and not leaving a 5-year-old alone in freezing weather out on the street. Next one. No, this is not a picture of a baby that was tear gassed by ICE while his parents were on their way to a basketball game. Go to that next picture. You can literally see in video that was uncovered later. His parents lied. They're on video at a violent protest and they left their baby alone in a car for 45 minutes at a riot that they helped cause and they forced tear gas to be deployed. Next one. This is not a picture of an innocent restaurant worker being arrested by heartless ICE agents. As you can see right here, it is a picture of an illegal child rapist who fled into a restaurant to avoid arrest and seems to have a knife in his hand if you look closely. Next one. This is not a picture of ICE ripping a disabled woman from her car while she was screaming that she was trying to get to the doctor, as was claimed and seen by millions of people. I watched the entire video. She was intentionally obstructing ICE officers by blocking a road. She was asked by 4 different ICE officers to move. She did not comply, and so they were forced to remove her from her vehicle. Next one, this is not a picture of a mother whose son was gunned down for no reason by quote-unquote racist ICE officers. Nope. Actually, it was discovered this kid was firing an AR-style rifle into the air in the middle of an apartment complex. He was asked to stop by law enforcement who self-identified as law enforcement. And not only did he not comply, he is reported as turning his firearm on the ICE agent and firing a shot in the agent's direction. In fact, the kid's dad admitted in a video interview that I watched that his son was doing something illegal with a gun and he knew that it was illegal. Next one, no, that is not an innocent man. This right here, there was not an innocent man that was shot for no reason by ICE agents in Arizona. Next one, actually, even the Associated Press reports the guy was firing rounds at law enforcement helicopters and law enforcement individuals, and they returned defensive fire. Next one. No, this is not a picture of a federal agent, quote unquote, terrorizing an innocent observer by pointing a gun at his face. Nope. If you go watch the video, I took these screenshots. The guy was obstructing law enforcement on purpose. He initiated contact with the law enforcement agent.
All right, guys, that video goes on, and he does a great job. I'm sure you've seen every single one of these. I mean, these aren't vague ones. Josh Howerton, Howerton Josh, the ICE propaganda war. I retweeted that on my account as well. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. I said this is excellent, rapid debunking of all the biggest anti-ICE hoaxes from Josh Howerton. Very well done, sir. And again, you watch the full video. Now, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've heard about methylene blue. Well, we have the best. 7 years ago, my medical doctor told me, get on any USP-grade methylene blue. Just buy it online. So I did. Really didn't feel anything. My wife felt some energy. I knew it was good for my mitochondrial cells and the telomeres and things, but I kind of forgot to take it because the results weren't that dramatic. Then my main sponsor, Bigley, almost a year ago, said, try this. We have true USP medical grade out of Florida. This company actually makes it for the medical system, but they're letting us buy it and put it out. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. 15 minutes after I took it, I felt electricity through my hands and body surging energy. It was actually kind of scary. Then it peaked in about an hour, and then no letdown. You can take this stuff and go to sleep. My workouts got better. My clarity, my focus, it's really been crazy. So, you know, the news and information we cover is super accurate. You know, the guests we have on have track records of being super accurate. I don't promote anything that isn't bona fide and real. So for all of you that have been on the fence out there, believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get our ultra methylene blue. It is simply insane. I've given it to almost every guest that's come in on the show. I forget sometimes. And every guest has had from dramatic to insanely incredible results while they're still on the air for an hour. So here's some excerpts of what they had to say about it. You took methylene blue about 30 minutes ago. Are you feeling it?
I think I am. I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it. Unlimited power! Oh! Ah! Yeah!
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
You totally feel the difference. I use the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesshore.com. I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's the new Patriot Silver Folding Knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Big show for you today. Jay Dyer is going to be joining us in the next hour. And we still have a lot to talk about. I'm going to continue to talk about immigration here a little bit because it's really the best way to illustrate both the pure, unadulterated insanity of the left. And I know we use that term a lot, but there's just no other word for it, folks. I'll show you a video of a woman with her face, how do you even put it, looking like a pincushion, talking about how she would rather commit suicide and kill her children than let them go into ICE custody. And it's like, lady, what the hell are you talking to? It's some fat white lady being like, I guess I have to kill my children. ICE is going to get them. Okay, so is that sane or not? I mean, maybe there's a better word for it, but we'll look into it. We'll investigate it because we'll find the conclusion of the insanity with this lady. But we'll also investigate how this is being deliberately implanted in the minds of children by the government itself, which is completely insane. But we have a lot more to cover today's show. Let's let's show that video because this is what we're dealing with. Let's go to clip number 24 here. This is a liberal mother in Portland, Oregon, talking about the risk, the threat of ICE taking her children away. Just this is what we're dealing with, folks. Let's watch.
I really pray it doesn't get bad enough, but being a mom in America, I had to stop walking for this. I often think that if it gets to the point of knocking on doors, God, and like to even have these thoughts, it's like I'm literally separating from reality right now. If it comes down to me taking out myself and my kids versus us being taken and harmed by ICE, like, God help me, I did not want to do it. This is not the life I wanted. But that is a very dark thought that I've had. Death would be a easier out than for my children to be taken and harmed by these pedophiles.
What? I mean, what? What the hell are you talking about, lady? Mother ponders taking out her own kids to avoid ICE. Okay. Can you imagine? She walked by an industrial magnate. I mean, could you imagine? What's more dangerous to this lady? ICE taking her kids or a magnetic force ripping her face apart? I mean, it's pure insanity. What do these people think that they're doing? Because I don't believe them. I don't believe that she believes this. I don't believe it. Because if you really thought that that was at all a remote possibility in your life, why would you make that video? Like, what are you talking about? These people think they're in the French Resistance against the Nazis. You know what the French Resistance didn't do is make videos, you know, publicly pronounce their opposition to the Nazi forces. You know why? Because the Nazis would have liquidated them and their entire family and probably tortured them until they gave up all of their friends who they were collaborating with. So they shut the hell up because that's what it's like to actually live under tyranny. These people don't even live on Earth. They don't even live in the real world. She literally says that. She's like, when I start thinking about this, I feel like I'm going to a different reality. Yeah, well, you are. No, it's a dreamscape of yours, where apparently you fantasize about committing murder, suicide of your whole family rather than go into ICE custody. What? Lady, you're American. Do you know that? Do you know that you're not going to be deported because you are an American? Unfortunately for all of us, you are an American. So what are we talking about? Like, I can continue to try to rationalize it, but I think actually it's not worth it. I think actually we can recognize that this is what we're up against, but there's not a hell of a lot we can do to help this lady. She just needs to be, ignored. I mean, she can have fun pretending that she's in the French Resistance, but it's fantasy. She's just living in a fantasy. It's truly wild. We can see this on display when we have a sane woman talking to an insane woman, and we can see sort of how they come across. Let's go to clip 34 here. Liberal woman getting schooled by a white Republican woman about immigration. Let's watch.
What kind of violence are these ICE officers committing against the people? Are they hitting them?
Yeah, of course.
Have you seen video of that? I've not.
It's not even just
video. I've just seen ICE officers arresting individuals who are illegally in this country. Also, I would point out that Obama did this, and it was not all hunky-dory. It was not rainbows and butterflies when Obama was arresting people. The thing is, they were just not transparent about it. This was going on under every single administration. Donald Trump is transparent. He's going to let you see it. And yeah, he's going to get a lot of slack for it, but at least he's showing you how it's done. Obama did the same exact thing. Same with Bill Clinton.
I think arguing that cruelty is transparency is really harmful.
All right, let's pause it right there. Do you see how there's a classic tweet that keeps going viral from Way of the World, I think his name is. Or is it Millennial Woes? Where they say basically the left is impossible to argue against because they pretend to be stupid. They pretend not to understand things. Now, I don't know if this woman's pretending or not, but what she said is just impossible to understand how she got to that point. And this is the thing that's hard to understand, but you'll always see it, is that liberals really do, leftists, whoever these people are, they really do have a sort of combobulator machine that intercedes between the sound coming into their ear and then it being processed in the brain. It goes into sort of a tumbler machine, like a rock tumbler. It gets all discombobulated to where when it finally enters their consciousness, it is something utterly different than what entered their ear. What I mean by that is what the woman said, that the first woman, she said that Obama did this, Clinton did this, Biden did, every single American president ever has carried out deportations, and every single time there's been instances of those being deported, fighting back, violence breaking out, something like that. What she's saying is that it's not the actions of ICE that's different. It's not the actions of the government that has changed. It's the coverage. It's the way that it's being talked about and exposed and shown in people's faces and misattributed. Like, you know, the context is completely wrong when they're presented this. And then the liberal woman says, I don't buy the argument that cruelty is transparency. It's just not what was said. It just has nothing to do with what was said. She took the actual statement, which was, there's nothing cruel about this. They're just arresting people. It gets violent sometimes, but that's always been the case. You just didn't hear about it before because they didn't want to make a big deal out of it before. Because you're in a propaganda war, like Josh Howerton laid out. And this woman just cannot even understand that. She like cannot comprehend. She thinks that what they're saying is like, it's okay that ICE is cruel because they're admitting that they're cruel. So it's fine that that's what's happening. This is what happens when you try to argue with liberals. I mean, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to try to convince them. They don't live in our world and they cannot comprehend our arguments. It's sad, but that's just the facts. All right, let's go back to the lady who just, again, can't, and, you know, there needs to be a thing where, like, if you're arguing with a liberal, you need to make your argument and go, hold on, before you respond, say what I just said back to me. Repeat my argument to me. It doesn't have to be word for word, but do you even understand what I just said? Because I guarantee you something like this happens. We're like, yeah, you're saying that it's good that they're being cruel because we get to watch them being cruel. And some reason transparency means that the cruelty is okay. It's like, oh, that's what we're arguing now. Let's go back to the gaslighting conversation.
It's just arresting illegals. It's never going to be, like I said, rainbows, but they're never going to put their arms out like this and say, okay, take me to Guatemala. They're going to put up a fight, but they are illegally in this country. Now, if they would just acquiesce.
Yeah, but the people being negatively affected by that are people like my children who are now being raised in American cities where violence is normalized, where we have roving gangs of military men. I don't want to live in a country like that.
Gangs?
You shouldn't want to live in a country like that. Nobody should live in a...
So, can I now...
In a country like that. Do I know what the word gang means?
You live in Salt Lake City.
I don't live in Salt Lake.
So, oh, you've moved out.
I live in D.C., and those gangs of military officials make me feel a lot more safe because the National Guard is there. As a young woman living in D.C., I feel a million times safer. I'm going to bring children into this country and know that they are going to grow up in these cities, not blue cities, but hopefully Republican areas, and they crack down on crime there. The police do their job there. So, no, they do not need to worry about crime, and my children aren't going to have to worry about that because they're following the law, they're following the rules. And if your kids do that, then they shouldn't have to worry either. And I'm sad that you're instilling so much fear in them to the point where they're afraid to walk out on the streets because their mom is making America seem like an absolute hellhole.
I'm not the person making my kids feel fearful. My kids don't need me to tell them to be scared when there's people with automatic assault rifles in a grocery store parking lot. They're not scared because I told them to. They're scared because that is scary. And there's real harm in being like, well, the military is going to save us. First off, there are no good countries where the military is hanging out on every street corner. Like, you want to live in a country like Mexico? You want to live in a country like South America? Fine, go live there.
Street corner. We're on a street corner. Does anybody see the military?
You understand what I'm saying?
I don't.
Yeah, you're making things up. She's like, you get what I'm saying. I'm, you know... Okay, sure, what I said isn't actually real, but, like, in my mind it is. So do you understand how scary that is for me? Understand how scary it is for me that I think that there are people with assault rifles on every corner, the military locking us down? Do you have any idea how scary it is to live in a world like that? Like, I guess. You don't, though. And how funny is it to hear the pro-immigration person being like, do you want to live in a place like Mexico? It's like, well, no. Guess what I'm going to do about that? Guess what the problem with Mexico is? How do you think we avoid becoming Mexico, lady? How do you think we could have avoided the situation that has now led to militarized police patrolling for illegal immigrants? Maybe if you didn't let them in by the tens of millions in the first place, you freaking idiot. Hello, like, what are you talking about? It's very difficult. It's difficult to share a country with these people. We shouldn't have to be honest with you. And those are the more like tame people that are just living in a world of delusion and imposing that on their children, which is also just hilarious to me. They're like, no, you know what's scary is men with machine guns in the grocery store parking lot. You must have different kids than me, lady. Do you have any idea how excited my son would be to see soldiers in a parking lot? He would run up to them. He would desperately want them to shoot somebody so he could watch. Like that little kids, what are you talking about? Just what are you talking about? I had the same conversation with another friend of mine. They're like, I don't want our kids to be like traumatized by like ICE agents going into schools. And so like, do you think if a dude walked into our, you know, to the preschool, didn't kick the door down, knocked on the door, hey kids, hey, my name's, Agent Smith. How you kids doing? He's got like night vision goggles. He's got a, you know, plate carrier. He's got like a futuristic looking weapon. Our kids they wouldn't stop talking about it for a week. They would love it. They would love it. There is nothing intrinsically even scary or bad about soldiers. Not if your kid isn't raised to think that they're going to be killed by them. That's you. That's on you, lady. My kids are raised to understand that the police are people that they can trust and go to. They can't find any other adults they know. They're raised to believe that the American military won't just hurt random little kids for no reason, because that's crazy. And that doesn't happen here. Thank God we're not Mexico. Thank God we're not Honduras. Thank God we're not Vietnam or any of these other places, and will continue to not be those places by kicking the people from those places the hell out of our country and back to their own hellholes. How about that, lady? Problem solved. The problem you think you're fighting, I've solved. I'm telling you, these people are dumb as hell. And it's one thing when it's just some lady talking and terrorizing, traumatizing her children for no particular reason. Of course, this is happening at an industrial level, with the schools actually participating in events where they're getting even like preschool kids to go out and protest ICE because they're training them to be lifelong good little slaves of the New World Order, protesting their own, you know, safety. But it takes on a whole different element when you see them actually acting out this delusion, actually acting as if they think they really are in like the French Resistance and actually are having a rebellion against the government. It's like very dangerous to let them indulge them in these delusions. Let's go to clip 57 now. Anti-ICE rioters in Minneapolis are now detaining random American citizens to scan their license plate on the suspicion that they're ICE. They're setting up roadblocks now, which I'm not joking, is just further evidence. The protesters themselves have actually genuinely violated more civil rights than ICE has. You are not allowed to stop people at roadblocks and get their ID from them. ICE doesn't even do that. But here's, these people are doing this. They are imposing tyranny when they're, because they think they're fighting against a tyranny that doesn't exist. This is like our entire world at this point. The racism that didn't exist, they had to fix by stop no longer hiring white people. Now nothing works. The non-existent tyranny of ICE doesn't exist. So now they're imposing tyranny on people to try to fight a thing that doesn't exist. Here's what it looks like when they do that. Yo, stopping the roadblocks here. Yeah, ICE doesn't do this, but Nazis do. And I blow to the extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal, light up a stage and watch. Okay, so they're setting up ICE roadblocks, and he didn't actually see any of the stops there, but they actually stop people, demand their ID, scan their license plate, send the license plate through a telegram group to somebody in a, you know, local government office who scans the license plate. Now, here's why this is completely nonsensical and frankly ridiculous. There's only two options. Either the person is not ICE, as 99.999% of people are not ICE, in which case they don't stop them, they just let them go, and they cruise right through. Okay, that's one option. If they are in fact ICE, what do you think happens then? Do you think ICE radios in, command, I got a problem here. I got three wooden pallets being held up by a couple twinks. What do I do? They're stopping me. They're telling me I don't have permission to go into their neighborhood. I'm just going to turn around. I'm going to back up. I better get out of here. No, either the person's not ICE, in which case you let them through and had no right to stop them in the first place, or they are ICE, in which case you're going to get your ass beat and your roadblock destroyed. So what is the purpose of this exactly? What is the purpose of this play acting, of this game of charades that they're putting on? It's to normalize this type of activity, which is completely illegal. They have absolutely no right to do this. And frankly, as our world descends, as our country becomes more and more South Africa-like, you know, it's not going to be too long until stopping at a roadblock is a death sentence. And that the only thing to do if you see a roadblock is hope that you have time to turn around or blast right through it and hope they don't, you know, get a shot off in the meantime. Because that's what happens when the country descends into third world and we don't have lawful authorities who are actually virtuous and bound by oaths. No, you get roving gangs of psychopaths throwing spike strips on the road, stopping cars, hauling people out, robbing them and killing them and leaving them in a ditch and waiting for the next car to arrive. So they're sort of normalizing this type of behavior. But these are the only two options. Either they're not ICE, in which case, what the hell are you waylaying them for? You have no right to do that. Or they are ICE, in which case ICE is going to get out, whoop your ass, clear the road, and be perfectly justified in doing so. So this is ridiculous. And we can look at what some of this looks like. Clip 62 here. This is what it looks like, you know, when these just absolute brainwashed morons try to actually live their delusion. Let's watch. Here we see them yelling at ICE, you know, bitching at ICE. ICE opens the door. She tries to close it. And it's like, all right, how about I slam your head into a truck? Boom. Are you an idiot? Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Have I used the imagery of a chihuahua and a pit bull yet? That somebody convinced these, you know, trumped up fatsos that they have a right to try to fight people significantly more powerful and lawfully empowered with the ability to use physical force to do their job? What do you think is going to happen? Boom. Can we bring up the audio again? Can we watch that again, please? Yeah, I don't like seeing idiots get hurt, but I do like seeing appropriate consequences. Bonk. Yeah, her head made a dent. Yeah, you're not going to be able to buff that one out, lady. I hope she gets charged. I hope she gets raked over the coals by the insurance companies for that. But explain to me again how you got this dent, sir. Well, it was a fat Mexican head. I don't know. It was a big fat head got slammed into it. Like a pinata. I don't know what to tell you. It's like, we don't have a check for that on the form, sir. So you hit a pedestrian? No. A pedestrian was thrown into my car by the righteous hand of ICE. Yeah, leave it. Leave the dent. Leave the dent as a memorial for the victory. I just can't believe we have to share a country with these people. I mean, my God. Like, who do you think you are? What gave you the idea that you could do this? And this is what I mean, where it's like they think they're the French Resistance, but it's like you're not. And if you actually were being mistreated or being, you know, tyrannized by an actual tyranny, you wouldn't be able to say any of this. Leftist thugs block locals from traveling freely, attack journalists and call Black ICE agent the N-word. MAGA trolls, commies, police finally take down a legal checkpoint. I got that video too. That one's funny. I love this guy, the ICE agent that gets called the N-word. Well, we can go to clip number 31. This is another example of effing around and finding out. Again, these people just, it's like, I don't know. I've explained it too much already, but just in any other context, what these people are doing is so suicidal. Like, just imagine it's not Immigration Customs Enforcement, because what they're doing is just what any other police force would do, right? You have a report that you've identified a wanted criminal. Okay, you've got to go in and extract him. He has a warrant. He's dangerous. It is incumbent on the lawful authorities to go in and arrest the bad guy. So just, that's the context here. The context is not, oh, they're taking people from their families. It's like, no, you are showing up. Just imagine like there's a drug house, there's a drug den, there's a human trafficker holed up inside. He may be armed. The police are rolling in fully decked out in military gear to go in and arrest this wanted criminal. And there's some dumb lady on her way to Starbucks who just decides, you know what I'll do? I think I'll get involved. You know, I think I'll stand up for the criminal. I think I'll fight the cops on their behalf. And it's like, what do you think is going to happen? Your delusion that you've overlaid over this situation is not the real situation. So stuff it. Let's go to clip 31 here real quick. This is them. I guess they pull guns on him. Is it not working? Looks like we're having some trouble with that file. They pull guns on the person. But yeah, it's a lady driving her car in the middle of it. She's just like, I'm not getting out. I'm not though. And they just haul her out of the car, throw her ass on the ground, put cuffs on her, haul her away. So why are all of these people not arrested? They should all be arrested. Everybody trying to do anything like this, anybody waylaying people with homemade roadblocks, they all need to be arrested. Anybody getting involved in ICE arrests, all of them need to be arrested. Anybody calling for it or organizing it or running the plates, they all need to be arrested. What the hell are we doing? And how long are we going to wait for the government to do their damn job before we just do it ourselves? Because have you seen these people? They're not impressive. Not be hard. We don't have to wait for the government, but we are because we're polite, too polite. Jay Dyer is going to join me in the next hour. I'm very excited to talk to him about Epstein. I've been saving all my Epstein stuff today. That's why I haven't covered it in the first hour. We're going to get into Epstein and Trump and the response and everything. I do want to remind you, today is the last day to take advantage of the sale where if you buy Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shots, the new incredible product from Optimal Human, you get a free atomic defense supplement with that order. So purchase any product of Mind Fuel and get a free atomic defense. That sale ends today. The Mind Fuel is a caffeine-free nootropic energy shot, clean, fast-acting liquid format. It tastes great. It tastes better than any other shot. You can get it now at thealexjonesstore.com. Massive energy, no crash.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small, nice little memento to support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire of Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're in it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more, and check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Jay Dyer, author, comedian, writer for The Sam Hyde Show, TV presenter. He's known for his deep analysis of Hollywood geopolitics, culture, and bizarre sense of humor and comedy. His graduate work focused on psychological warfare and film. He, of course, is known for his books, Esoteric Hollywood 1, 2, and 3. Is out now, right? I think we need to update this this bio, because that is the third. Let me ask: is the third book out now, Jay? Because I remember last time it was about to come out.
It is out now. Yes,
it is out. We need to update your bio. So, Esoteric Hollywood 3, finishing the trilogy. You can follow Jay on X at @J_D007 on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/@JayDyer and Jay'sAnalysis.com. Jay, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Harrison. Are you the president now? I see you're like in a president room.
Yeah, sometimes I moonlight as emperor of the moon, and we have a lovely setup here. But yeah, let's talk. Can we talk about the president? Or let me do this, because we're in a short break here. You got 3 minutes. Give me the rundown. What is your takeaway? What is your bird's eye view of everything that's come out? Because I know you've been diving into the Epstein files. I've been watching a lot of your videos. Boil it down for us. What's your takeaway in 3 minutes that everybody needs to know about what's come out?
Yeah, I've spent 12 hours straight live streaming on my channel on YouTube, Jay Dyer. You can go watch all those. And we started with it. I didn't really realize it was going to be this massive, but this is probably the biggest crop of news information breaking stuff that in my lifetime. I mean, this rivals maybe JFK assassination. It's up there with the Big Nine event. This is up there with COVID. And all of those events actually will tie into the massive information dump that we just had. So I think the real way to understand this is that it really demonstrates and vindicates what those of us on this side of the media, critical of the mainstream establishment and mainstream media, have said all along, which is that the world is actually run by interlocking networks and cliques of intelligence agencies, government operatives, academics, celebrities, bankers, corporate heads. They all work together, and they have a shadow system that they run kind of on the background or in the background that is really pulling the strings when it comes to what people think is the political public sphere of things. So we have basically high-level compromise, blackmail, espionage, snuff films, everything you could think of that's the worst possible stuff. Think of Nick Cage's 8mm. It's that, but blown up to the level of True Detective Season 1 on an international scale. So the most shocking thing, I think, is not just the salacious kind of, legitimate stuff with underage people. That's all awful. That's terrible. But that we're actually seeing that Jeffrey Epstein seems to be a literal Bond villain.
Right.
A Bond villain, perhaps above the level of a Klaus Schwab. This is so massive. You've got Epstein being able basically to meet with the heads of world governments. He's basically a consultant fixer at a high financial level and a blackmailer and an intelligence operative, liaisoning with multiple agencies across the world, heads of state, kings. We got Thailand. We've got Ukraine. We've got Israel. We've got all of it implicated here in a massive global cover-up for, as just broke a few minutes ago, in fact, total world control. In fact, there's an email where there's discussion back and forth, and Epstein is basically saying, we don't really have to worry. We've got it all under total control, and that's our trump card, he says. We've got it total control. And then he says, we can wreck economies and profit from those collapses. And he says, you recognize, to Peter Thiel, I represent the Rothschilds. And then we have those exchanges between him and Ariana de Rothschild saying, we can actually look at this collapse and this chaos in the Ukraine, and we can go in and buy it up. Go back to the bailouts of Europe. We can buy up those countries after they collapse, and we can manipulate and weaponize the Federal Reserve and the International Federal Reserve System through usury, debt banking, and enslavement by design. And he says, and we will throw all of that debt and that chaos onto the goy, and we will make that money on the downside, on the downturn, and we can dupe everybody.
It's exactly what we've been saying. It's just from the mouth of the perpetrators.
Yes.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Have you ever been experienced? Well, we have. Let us show you now on The War Room with Harrison Smith.
An appropriate intro for us this hour. Jay Dyer is my guest. Follow him on X at J_D007 on YouTube at youtube.com/@JayDyer and jaysanalysis.com. Experience, I think, is what sets people like you apart, Jay. A lot of people are sort of understanding this, coming to these realizations right now. I've been saying for a while, it's like we've always seen the black and white picture. Now it's being colored in. Now we're seeing the details and maybe the names and dates that we could speculate on. Now we're you know, getting it from their own words. And as you point out, I mean, the way that you describe, you know, what we're learning from the emails, it just sounds like what Alex Jones and yourself and so many people have said over the decades. Now it's just coming from the perpetrators, from the people actually doing it and engaged in it. So it tastes a little different. It feels a little different when it's coming from them. And so I want to talk about sort of the biggest bombshell revelations that you found or that, you know, you have drawn your attention, but also the reaction, especially from Donald Trump and trying to figure out what the hell's going on there. But yeah, what has been something that has either surprised you or blown your mind or vindicated something that you believed already?
Well, I first learned about, the Rothschild banking system and how that network worked probably in about 2005 or six. And I started writing some essays back then, some blog posts and, you know, WordPress blog, all that kind of stuff back in the early days of blogging. And that eventually turned into a chapter in my first book. So it's actually 10 years ago. This is 2016, 10 year anniversary. The very first chapter in my book is about how you see right there, the Rothschild masked ball, where presumably there was all kinds of orgiastic Eyes Wide Shut type stuff going on. And then I noted that quite a few Hollywood films have actually been telling us that. And you'll see there to the left, both Eyes Wide Shut and The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp, which have very similar themes of these kind of high profile networks, cults, Rothschild mansions, et cetera, all of that in the films, throwing it in our face kind of in an Eyes Wide Shut way. So that's why I always thought that movie was so important. And, you know, here we are years later and this is all coming out and it's exactly what we said and way more. I think you're absolutely right, Harrison, to talk about the things that are really surprising. One of the things that comes to mind that was kind of surprising, even though I guess it really shouldn't surprise me, was Jeff Stein McCaffrey's interest in DNA genetics and blood transfusions and studying blood, trying to find out the history of people in terms of their genetics, looking into Asperger's and perhaps the aberrations that might come out of a person who was sexually traumatized that could perhaps be weaponized into some kind of quote superpower. So I'm not going full on like literal X-Men stuff, but kind of almost like that, where you have this idea that trauma-based mind control, particularly sexual abuse, might cause a person to dissociate and create alternate personalities and perhaps be trained. We have one email that was really shocking where an Asian person is of some sort is emailing Epstein, who says that I found a sexually abused girl and she's in stage three of the process and she seems to be developing her own techniques, skills and abilities. Now that could mean sexual entrapment, blackmail techniques like you see in the movie Red Sparrow or something like that. We know the NKVD was very adept at training girls for that. But we also, I think, have other nation states that are involved in sexual entrapment. Of course, Israel would be no stranger to that. The Japanese, the Chinese, they've all engaged in sexual entrapment research and perfecting that technique. So this appears to be an email of a spotter or recruiter saying, hey, Jeff, I found a good potential, you know, candidate And along that same line, we have people who were said to be, it's time to kill her. You have permission to kill this one. By the way, did you torture her? Where's the torture video? I love the torture video. All that kind of snuff, 8mm stuff is all vindicated. We knew that was all real in the sense of that it existed out there in the world. A lot of Hollywood films, a lot of movies, noir films, you know, portray this kind of stuff. But even a few years ago, outlets like The Guardian were still saying there's no such thing as snuff films. They don't exist. They're a hoax or an internet satanic panic mystery. Well, no, it's not a hoax. It's all very real and it's part of the blackmail stuff. In fact, there was an email that was sent to somebody asking for one Bitcoin when Bitcoin is around $10,000 saying, hey, by the way, I've got a bunch of email, a bunch of video footage of Jeffrey doing stuff. Send me a Bitcoin. Yeah, there's the, hey, I love the torture video. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for sending me that, Jeff. That was, literal eight millimeters. So if you've never seen the Nick Cage movie, it's eight millimeters worth watching. But, that side of it was pretty wild. The transhumanist side of it was really wild. We have, you know, the asking for, twins. There's a email where Epstein says, I wish that I could get a hold of a couple twins because I want to study the effects of different environmental settings on twins. And that includes, he says, parallel and vertical stripes, which is odd because, of course, his temple or his sauna or whatever that building is on the island with the owl, you know, it has those horizontal stripes on it. So he seemed to be very obsessed with a lot of weird things. Now, let's not forget the Vatican also plays a role in this because he apparently, according to one of the emails in the past, spent some time, quote, living at the Vatican. We don't know how long that duration was. But it is confirmed that back in 2003, he did get a blessing and is in an old photo together with John Paul II being blessed. In the email, which is in 2015, reflecting on this past event, meeting with John Paul II, there's a discussion of architecture and the procuring of certain columns. So Epstein wanted to get a hold of these things for the Pope. The Pope is interested in these various architectural objects and so forth, which is odd. Itself doesn't necessarily prove anything nefarious, but it does show a close relationship with Epstein and perhaps with Mossad. And let's keep in mind, there's books that have been out for a long time. For example, Gordon Thomas wrote a book called Gideon Spies. It's about the history of the Mossad and their operations. He wrote that in 1999, and a lot of people took issue with the claims that Gordon Thomas made in this very well-known, very researched geopolitical analysis and historical journalist text. It's not a conspiracy text, but people took issue with him linking these people to Princess Diana. Well, turns out Epstein was linked with and had met Princess Diana, and he was very obviously close to the royals, not just Andrew. Now, if we think about the Vatican role, well, what does this have to do with the Vatican? Why would that have anything to do with compromise? Well, don't forget that that's not the only notorious PDF that John Paul II had a very close relationship with. He also had a relationship with Jimmy Savile, whom he gave a papal knighthood to. So that's multiple PDFs involved in very close relationships and getting awards from the highest level of the Roman Catholic Church. To me, that suggests compromise. He was also, in some of the emails, organizing flights for Pope Francis, for meetings with Pope Francis. No surprise there. But to mention that point with Gideon Spies by Gordon Thomas, there's a chapter where he talks about the normalizing of relations between the State of Israel and the Vatican. And that's because, according to Gordon Thomas, there were Mossad operatives acting in the Vatican in the 1980s, in the 1990s, and eventually, I think it was in the 90s, that the Vatican recognized the State of Israel. And so that occurred through specifically the liaisoning and the meetings with John Paul II. Now, we don't exactly know what went on. There is an allegation in Gordon Thomas's book that they tried to bug the Vatican. I don't know if they were successful in that. I think they were they put a stop to that, but you have to keep in mind the Vatican also has its own secret service. And so anybody who's getting close to the Pope in this way has been vetted. And right. The idea that, well, they didn't know what Epstein was up to. They didn't know what Jimmy Savile was up to is utterly preposterous.
Absolutely.
Vatican has a very adept secret service. So my point is that these religious leaders, it's not just, heads of state. It's also the most prominent religious organization in Western civilization, the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, which were a target, and seems to have been involved in and colluded with to some degree under Pope Francis and John Paul II, who is known, by the way, as the most Judaic of the Pope. So that's important to keep in mind, and it does vindicate a lot of what Gordon Thomas had written about in his book, which people took issue with, not just with the Pope, but also with Princess Diana. So, I mean, I don't want to take up all of your time, Harrison, but like, I can go on for, like ever. This is the wildest, craziest stuff we've ever seen.
Yeah, well, I completely agree. I'm right there with you. And, the other thing about the Vatican that came out was that basically he was emailing Ehud Barak, but he was emailing somebody basically giving the inside story about the resignation of Ratzinger.
Oh, the Vatican Bank. Yes.
Right. Yes. And talking about the Vatican Bank, and there was a guy who basically discovered wrongdoing and was collecting evidence, and they basically killed him and got rid of his evidence. And that's all laid out. And I was wondering, okay, is this because these guys are involved in this? Is this, you know, inside knowledge because they're actually active in these groups? Or is this just, you know, part of the allure of being a spy is having access to secret information? So I was wondering, is this, you know, actually, are they involved, or is this just them sort of, you know, hey, I get to know the inside scoop. Hey, what's really going on here? Do you think it's just, you know, the self-satisfaction of knowing secrets nobody else knows? Or how involved in the Vatican Bank do you think these guys were?
No, this is a 100% absolute intimate involvement. In fact, you can go watch all my podcasts where I covered Operation Gladio from both critics and supporters of the Gladio operations during the Cold War. Gladio wasn't just stay behind units to protect against Soviets. It was ultimately, according to Roman Catholic author and historian and FBI consultant Paul Williams, a compromising of the entire structure of the Italian government throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And this actually came out in European news. It's confirmed. It came out before they knew the name of it as Operation Gladio. But this was a Kissinger-run operation through Licio Gelli and through Michele Sindona. Gelli was the highest level Grand Orient Freemason in Italy. He was in charge of the P2 Grand Orient Lodges. This is all, by the way, publicly admitted and confirmed. You can go look it up. And he was working together with the organized crime figure Michele Sindona, and they were using the Banco d'Ambrosio and the Vatican Bank for these cutouts and for this money laundering to fund a lot of CIA black ops stuff. And this relationship was first formed and forged through Bill Donovan of the OSS and then through James Jesus Angleton, the Israeliophile, of course, who worked the Rome desk for the CIA. And then through William Colby during the Cold War. Yes, exactly. Those books are 100% absolute proof of everything that we're talking about here. And what this shows is that it's not really a, you know, left-right thing. This is a higher tier level of operation that, for example, according to Gladio, the Rockefellers bailed out the Vatican Bank during this period when it collapsed, right? Both Banco d'Ambrosio and the Vatican Bank were deeply in debt, I think about $1 billion in debt at one point, because they had actually taken the people's pensions. They had stolen the pensions of everybody in Italy and were basically gambling with the pensions, and then they lost in derivatives markets and whatnot. And so that led to the bailout by the Rockefellers of the Vatican Bank, and this is in part why there's such a close relationship. Now, keep in mind, the official Vatican bankers since the 1700s have actually been the Rothschilds, and that's publicly on record at both the Jewish Encyclopedia and at the Catholic Encyclopedia. They're the official bankers of the Vatican back to the 1700s. Up into the 1800s, there's multiple bailouts, Rothschild loans to the Holy See. You can go look that up. That's all public information. Learned all about that as a historian. So the Vatican Bank angle is another reason why Epstein probably had very close relationship with John Paul II, we know, and then perhaps also with Francis, because he seems to explain to banker Larry Summers, you would think banker Larry Summers, the Harvard, Viper takeover operative who helped
Secretary
loot
Treasury,
Russia.
Right? I mean,
yeah, who helped loot Russia in the 1990s. You would think Summers would know how the Vatican Bank runs, but he actually seems to not know that there's a secretive banking operation, shadow banking, and the Vatican is one of those key banks to funnel money, hide money, et cetera, for black operations. And it's explained in detail right there. And by the way, that also lends credence to what you're talking about with John Paul I, who was killed 32 or 33 days into his papacy by the P2, most people think, or writers think, precisely because he was beginning to investigate the Vatican Bank. And that's exactly why, according to Epstein, Benedict resigned. It wasn't about, theology nerd stuff. It was actually about corruption and blackmail.
It's absolutely thrilling. Like, you talk about, you know, the material for Hollywood level movies. I mean, that's what's being exposed here. So it's tantalizing, but, you know, as you point out, I mean, that's not the real thing about this release. It's, yes, a lot of it's scandalous. A lot of it's tantalizing. Which is more, you know, important to you? Is it the geopolitical stuff or is it the creep? Because I got, you know, I got two stories. I got from Daily Mail, Epstein linked to designer baby empire in latest files that reveal bid to engineer superhumans and clones. All right. So you have like the sci-fi cloning crap he was into. Then at the same time, you've got the tweet, post you tweeted out. We have total control, collapse economies and rule. We've got, you know, him talking about Davos being the next, UN replacement. So it's like, what do you even focus on? Do you focus on the personal, interpersonal, creepy cloning stuff? Do you focus on the manipulation of the world, geopolitical machination stuff?
It's his version of full spectrum dominance, right? And so let's think about this in terms of the way that the Pentagon had that strategy of full spectrum dominance. This is the same type of strategy, but it's shadow full spectrum dominance. And this is an older strategy again that probably the Rothschilds, I think, kind of perfected how to do this because they come from obviously a long line of banking elites and banking families. And the real spies are bankers. That's what we learn when we go into the history of not just the OSS, but the inquiry. Originally, the U.S. intelligence apparatus that was set up under Wilson was a bunch of bankers and academics. And that's why many OSS heads and CIA heads like Alan Dulles actually went to be, who was a banker, by the way, and a lawyer. They went to be heads of the Bank for National Settlements, which is the central bank of central banks. And so we also have that very fascinating email where he's discussing with Arianna de Rothschild the theory that the Rothschilds and the banking international clique had a role in perhaps helping Hitler come to power. The email actually says that when Hitler was destitute, he was helped at certain homeless shelters that he stayed in through international elite Jewish financiers, particularly the Rothschilds and others, even the Epstein family itself. So what this means is that there's a long lineage of banking intelligence that is the background to understanding this architecture. Now, not anyone else has talked about the Rakovsky interrogation, because the Rakovsky interrogation is kind of unknown about its provenance. It may or may not be accurate. There are real interrogations by the NKVD of Christian Rakovsky, who was the socialist minister of Bulgaria, who was a rabid Trotskyite. So he was arrested by Stalin's NKVD because, of course, Stalin hated the Trotskyites. And they have this really long interrogation. And Rakovsky says things to his interrogator, I think his name's Gabriel, that just blow Gabriel's mind. He says, "You don't understand who I really work for." He says, "I work for people above the capitalist socialist Soviet dialectic."
Right.
He basically says towards the end of this long interview and interrogation, "I work for the Rothschilds." And he says, "We have certain people like me that operate at a role that you don't understand. We're international fixers." And he doesn't use the word Bond villain because that didn't exist yet, but they're essentially like Bond villains working under the families that we're talking about here, these elite families. And he says, you could look at somebody like Sidney Reilly, the famous spy. He was another one of me, he says, these high-level fixer, consultant, PhD in criminal operations. Now, if you look at Gladio, and if you look at the Brazilian car wash scandal as an example, the Brazilian car wash scandal is another situation kind of like this, where the entire country was compromised from within in an elaborate scheme of money laundering and compromising essentially a giant oil company, which compromised the entire government during the 1980s and 90s. The CIA and the FBI and other entities went in and studied this and tried to, you know, figure out what was going on. I had dinner with a person who had been involved in litigating this whole operation. And he said, when I was talking to him, I said, "This sounds like Operation Gladio." And he was kind of shocked. He said, "How did you know that? This is exactly the same structure as Gladio." Guess what? Gladio is the same structure, although 2.0, of the FTX collapse. Mm. And guess what? Epstein, as I survey this information, is basically a PhD, not so much in math or this weird scientism stuff. I think he's essentially a kind of criminal PhD, and he's not necessarily running everything. He's got people who tell him what to do. If you remember the emails about he was given orders from certain people. He was told what he has to do by certain people. But he has a lot of skills, it seems, in networking, coordinating, blackmailing, and perhaps even cataloging the data. Because if we think back to Ghislaine's original rise, people don't know this, but in the first few chapters of Whitney Webb's excellent book, One Nation Under Blackmail Volume 2, she points out that Ghislaine and her sister were actually key people developing search engines. Did you know that? They developed the first search engine technology, particularly Magellan, which was on the front page of Netscape Navigator, and they sold that to a company for $18 million, and that's how they met Bill Gates in the 1990s through Ghislaine. So Ghislaine knew Bill Gates a long time ago, back in the 1990s, and that's how they forged that relationship where they wanted to be involved in the cutting-edge sectors like tech, but also in the cutting-edge sectors of inside information to game the stock market and to profit from war and people displacement. There's a, did you see the Thai email which said, hey, Jeff, check out Thailand because there's this displacement and there's a million children that can be tapped into.
Oh, wow. It makes sense. I mean, everything bad they benefit from. Collapse a country, you can make a little off the top. Start a war, and hey, you got a bunch of orphans to source from.
Yep.
Again, it is depths of evil that most people have not spent any time actually considering might actually exist out there. Because we tend to think that, you know, evil people like this will be cast out of society. No, they're running it in a lot of cases. And the Rothschild connection has to be the most important. Whether you're talking about Israel or Jeff Epstein, who in these emails says in no uncertain words, I am an agent of the Rothschilds. I mean, you can't get more clear than that. And then you look at the way that they have presided over the European continent since the early 1800s. And of course, I try to always point out, and everybody knows the story of Nathaniel Rothschild buying up the, the stock exchange. But the part people miss is because of his intelligence network. And it was so well established at that point, everybody looked to him to find out the results of the battle because everybody knew that he would know before anybody else. Everybody knew those guys have the better information than even the government has. And if the government's relying on you for information, that's total control. So everybody knows that.
The story is true.
Yeah.
Story is true, by the way.
It's absolutely true. And it to me, sort of represents, the beginning, a watershed moment where they go, oh, man, this control of information, our banking network in all these different countries, the communications that we have, we can take over the world with this. And that's what they've done. And Jeffrey Epstein is just the latest incarnation of this superstructure that they built over centuries.
Yeah, in the official biography, the Rothschilds that I mention quite often by a character named, I always forget this guy's name, but Frederick Morton, this is a 1952 biography here. You'll see that it's a real book. And then here on pages 48 to 49 is an actual account of what you're referring to in regard to Waterloo, that they had advanced information and this enabled them to invest and buy up as the stock market tanked because of the advanced information. And guess what? What are we, a few hundred years later? And we have that exact same email of Jeff Stein McGeffrey saying the exact same thing that, yeah, let's just do this. By the way, it wasn't just, the Rothschild Ariana email where they were talking about it with Ukraine and buying up things in Ukraine. There was another one where he's having a text exchange with Bannon and he says, him, Banner, talking, and he says the Federal Reserve and inflation are weapons to be used. Yeah. So he understands even though the Federal Reserve is a weapon that can be used tactically. We've seen that, obviously, I think in the last several years with the interest rates. Epstein even says at one point, you know, the zero interest rates, that was a good thing. That was a good move. That works. That helps us. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. Of course, now Trump expected to pick Kevin Warsh, son of Zionist billionaire Ron Lauder, as the Fed chair. Ron Lauder is the, in my opinion, thoroughly detestable president of the World Jewish Congress that has been demanding that we have hate speech laws for the last decade or so. His son is now going to head the Federal Reserve. We have more on the other side with Jay Dyer. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're going to get right back into this topic and expand it out, talk about, you know, how this really is used to control the world. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexshowstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexshowstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend big. Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Jay Dyer is giving us a masterclass on all of the background information you really need in order to give context to the revelations of the Epstein documents, the big 3 million document tranche, which apparently has been decreasing. I don't know if you saw this, Jay, that people keep checking up on the official archive, and it's like Rothschild. Originally there was 12,000 results, and now there's 11,000. Now there's 9,000. They're apparently going in and correcting some of the revelations they maybe didn't mean to make. Again, Jay Dyer, you can follow on X at J_D007, on YouTube at Jay Dyer, and jaysanalysis.com. And his new book is called Esoteric Hollywood 3, and it gets into the symbolism that they really throw in our faces. And I remember since I first got into conspiracies, there was always talk around the concept of the 13 families that rule the world, and that there are these families, these bloodlines that hold a sort of shadow nobility control over the world. And that really does seem to be what the Epstein files reveal to a large degree. And it's all the powerful people here in America. It's people that got us into the war in Ukraine. I mean, these really are just a few number of families. The Rothschild, sort of the kingpin family, but they're just one of a few families that have operated this, I don't know what you'd call it, mafia for a long time. Am I wrong about that?
know, mafia is a great word. And, you know, I think you really have an alliance between extremely wealthy people, families, and elites, that, as we see from the tone and the text of a lot of these emails and messages, is, you know, they really have disdain for everyone else. Even to the point of not just, you know, the elitist attitude of we're wealthier and more powerful, but, you know, the Talmudic attitude that they have a better soul, a higher consciousness, a nefesh, to use the Hebrew term, that is lacking in a lot of the commoners or the cattle soul. And that in their perspective gives a kind of a validation and a vindication as to how they can engage in this, with, you know, from their perspective, divine justification. But, you know, in the scriptures, when some of that was tolerated in the Old Testament during a very brutal period, God tolerated that not because of the magic DNA of the Jews or anything like that, but to protect the lineage of the Messiah that would come through the Jews. Once right. the Messiah came, Christ clarified and explained what was fulfilled and what was no longer necessary in the law. And so the ethic became universalized, right? And Christian ethics is universal. The ethics that we see out of these sort of tribal mindsets, and it's the exact same in Islam, by the way. I know Islam professes to have a kind of universal morality, but Islam is also based on a dual ethic. And both of these systems, whether it's Judaism or Islam, by the way, Islam comes out of Talmudic Judaism. People don't know that, but it does. They both focus on a very tribal and dual ethic where you can have deception, you can have perhaps even assassination, murder for those outside, and then a separate sort of, a preference, or in-group preference for those in the in-group. And that's exactly what we see in many of these emails where he's bragging that it's the Jews versus the white Christians. It's, you know, it's us versus them. We're winning right now. We are in total control. And that's just the reality of how they see it. They see Western civilization, Christianity, all of that, and including Rome and the papacy, as something to be taken over and subverted and turned to and into the entity that promotes the interests of their bloodline, their esoteric occult stuff. That's another thing that's come up. That's why Mormonism was relevant here in this please send pints of Mormon blood. We're studying them. Well, the Mormons have a giant DNA library. And so I think Epstein was interested in that. Of course, Mormonism has a longtime connection with, you know, the CIA. This is very well known. Many Mormon missionaries have been recruited by the CIA. So all of that also makes perfect sense too, why Epstein would have an intense interest in DNA, genetics, and bloodlines, not just from Talmudic Judaism, but also from the perspective of transhumanism and, you know, living forever. And because these people are, you know, Luciferian, satanic, nihilistic, or atheist, all the above, you know, for them, the desire is to, you know, expand and extend this life because that's all they think they have. So they've got to figure out how to perfect what's lacking. And one of the emails even mentioned the occult term, the great work. We're going to continue on the great work. That's an alchemical hermetic term about doing what is perfecting what is lacking in creation through technology. And so again, Bond level villain stuff. If you remember in Moonraker, Hugo Drax, the Bond villain, wants to depopulate the earth and reseed humanity as a kind of new Adam with his bloodline. And this is exactly what we have, you know, Epstein being involved in, presumably with the Zorro Ranch stuff.
I mean, that's the thing. Talk about Bond villainy. This email that came out about Davos replacing the UN, and it's a communication between Jeffrey Epstein and the CEO of the World Economic Forum, which of course is the spiritual hub of all of this, right? As you're talking about wanting to live forever and merging, you know, nature with machines and making up for the shortcomings of nature with technology. I mean, that's the mindset of Yuval Noah Harari and all of the bigwigs at World Economic Forum. So it's no surprise that this mindset is informing all of them. And then this, but the way that he phrases this, where they say Davos can easily replace the UN, cyber, crypto, genetics, international coordination, like my stint at Trilateral. Issues now need to deal with the distributed trust and internet fallout. Somebody says, Borge responds, the CEO of World Economic Forum. Exactly. We need a new global architecture. World Economic Forum, Davos, is uniquely positioned, public and private. And, Epstein responds, global architects first. So, I mean, you talk about taking over the world. I mean, that's what they're talking about doing. They're saying our little industrial, you know, neo-fascistic, half-private, half-public cabal will run the world. We already have the infrastructure for it. Isn't that convenient?
Yeah, and remember too that the clip that Mike Benz played was very insightful because it's the discussion between Epstein and Ehud Barak, the former prime minister of Israel, discussing how to target Peter Thiel, how to get Peter Thiel on board, and how to make that another arm or tentacle of their octopus. The octopus and its tentacles is a great way to think of this because it's not just tech. It's not just finance. It's not just academia or the celebrity sphere. It's all of the spheres that you think of and really getting an edge, not just in the intel, but also gaming the markets and blackmailing these high-level Silicon Valley elite people. So that was a very, very insightful explanation where you have or insight where you have basically Epstein saying, okay, look, here's what we're going to do to get you inside of Palantir through me targeting Peter Thiel, getting him on board. And that's one example. And presumably that's how it all goes, right? So in other words, he's an elite fixer. He's a consultant. He's a PhD in organized crime. And that's exactly what all of these emails show 1,000 times over. And every single minute when I open up Twitter, it's some brand new mind-blowing thing that, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, one of these would have been 1 or 2 weeks of news cycle.
Seriously.
Now it's every minute.
This one I hadn't even seen yet. I mean, you know, speak of the devil, you're exactly right. I mean, every time I open up X, I see stuff like this. Newly released documents in the Epstein case alleges Mette Marit, the crown princess of Norway, was pregnant by Epstein. I hadn't even seen that one yet. Well,
I covered that on the first night.
Do you have any insight into why Norway is such a hot spot for this? The other thing that came out was that the Queen of Norway, I think it was, asked Epstein for like parenting advice and
she asked for it. She said, hey, is it appropriate to show this or that to my young son?
Yeah.
And how do I groom him into sexual? In other words, it's like a grooming sexuality email. So,
son is on trial for raping women.
For rape. Yeah. So he's on trial for rape cases. And what we get from that is that not only that was that presumably she was grooming him to be a future psychopathic leader. Mm. That's a pattern that even Quigley talked about at the end of Tragedy and Hope. He says one of the things that the elite do that the rest of the population doesn't do and doesn't understand is that they send their children off to elite boarding schools and they teach them basic psychopathy. He doesn't come out and say that, but he basically says that they don't have a connection, so that they're deprived intentionally of motherly and parental connections so that they develop psychopathy so that they can be a kind of an Emmanuel Macron type person who can be controlled through the vices. So that's very important. So when you basically corrupt these people, you control them through vices, and you also have to degrade the people further and further to go higher up their ladder. As Alex has always talked about, these emails vindicate that to go higher and higher up in the ladder of success in this world through this system requires more and more degrading acts to become billionaire, trillionaire level stuff, right? So we also get the idea that people are put into and groomed in these positions, particularly the children of these people and the elites and the royals. And I would say in the case of Prince, whatever her name is, of Denmark and others, there was another one where they were offering the princess, I think her name is Sophia, they were offering her to Jeffrey, saying, hey, Jeff, here's Sophia, the princess daughter. Would you like her? Can you groom her? It's crazy. So it's almost like they all sort of looked up to, he was like in awe and even perhaps wanted to be impregnated by him, thinking that this would be a pathway into, you know, to power, to maintaining power. So yeah, it's not just Norway. It's also Denmark. It's also, I think it's Sophia of Denmark they were trying to get Epstein to take her on. And remember that email that we mentioned at the very beginning, it was talking about spotting people that are potential recruits for the stages of the process. It's just called the process. We don't know exactly what process it is, but sounds like a kind of grooming into becoming a sex operative.
Gosh, it is just unbelievably creepy, but it's not speculation anymore. I mean, this is, we now have them describing what they do. So it's like we really have to face this and not just go, ooh, that'd be weird if that was true. No, this is real and this is how it works. And now you really can't deny it. So it's kind of time to come to terms with it. And just going back to about Palantir, because you mentioned, you know, he's talking to Ehud Barak, and this was, neither one of them knew how to spell Palantir. They'd never heard of Peter Thiel. I mean, this was before he was anybody. So that's informative, right? It was in 2013 that that phone call was made. It was in 2014 that Palantir got its first major contracts with the Israeli government. And ever since then has been building and building to the point now, published yesterday, Glenn Greenwald says, congratulations to Palantir for their revenue record $1.41 billion quarter, saying not only for its centralizing and radically strengthened domestic surveillance state under its control, and not only for rapidly expanding the powers of the U.S. security state to new dystopian levels, but also getting endless contracts from the U.S. government. So, and not a surprise that the road was paved for them. That's why it's like, it's not like Palantir is this amazing company that everybody was like clamoring to buy their product. They were put in position. They're okay. You get the contract now. Congratulations. You're a $1 billion company. I mean, this is the way that it all works, and it's all just completely manipulated. I mean, is anything in our world legitimate anymore? And where do we go from here? I guess is my question. Like, now that we know all of this, what do we do?
We have stories as well of wild dinners that Epstein had with Zuckerberg. We have masses of information passing allegedly from Epstein to from Facebook to Israel. So that's another angle of it that not many people are talking about. We also have the mention of pandemic simulations.
Right.
With Bill Gates. 2017 email where he sends a message that includes Bill Gates, and he says, hey, here's all this information on bioweapon stuff. And by the way, here's how to run and look into various pandemic simulations. And then somebody found another one from 2015 even. So it's going back even further, as well as Epstein talking about certain bio labs and animal torture and testing labs in the Ukraine. That's pretty wild too, because remember, Epstein ends up flying to Ukraine 1 month before Zelensky becomes president. And remember the email that he has with Ariana Dorotchel saying, hey, we can actually profit from this chaos in Ukraine. Then we have the text messages where Zelensky's saying, hey, I need Epstein to help me out. Zelensky says, Putin thinks Israel's running me. I need Epstein's help. So again, high level consultant fixer. He shows up right before before Zelensky wins. And, I mean, it's just so, there's so much going on. We also have a vindication, by the way, of my buddy Mark Hackard. He actually translated an old KGB colonel's assessment during the Cold War of Robert Maxwell. And this one's relevant because in the KGB's assessment of Maxwell, they believed he was playing both sides.
Right.
And in the Epstein email about Maxwell, somebody says, hey, what was the deal with Robert Maxwell being killed by the Mossad? And Epstein says, well, the real story is that he actually appointed himself as the Israeli Mossad ambassador to the Soviets and was playing both sides. And he tried to extort Mossad for £400 million. And that's why they got rid of him. So that basically vindicates that essay that we shared as well. That was kind of a contentious, debated theory for so long. But I mean, again, I could keep going, but
I think is important too, because again, it's people that are just looking into this might think like, okay, he worked for Mossad. That means everything he did was Mossad ordered. But like, no, you can turn against them. They'll liquidate you. They'll kill you. You can be working as a double agent. I mean, all of this is vague, right? I mean, that's the nature of
intelligence. Well, that was Maxwell, right? I mean, I think that in the case of Epstein, he mainly worked for the Israeli interests, but I also think he would help out or, I mean, this is an international clique that's kind of even above a single nation state. I mean, he was interested. He was meeting with, one of the emails that was pretty wild was he was going to meet with, the heads of state. He had it planned out, and it was like 15 different heads of nations that he had scheduled to meet with. And then it was the U.S., State Department or Department, I think it was the State Department had approved these meetings for Jeffrey Epstein. So in other words, he was working at a very high level or multiple governments and people, but ultimately it definitely serves for the most part, probably the Israeli interests.
Right. But of course, you know, to ingratiate yourself, you might do favors for another interest. It doesn't mean you're on their side, but you're, you know, contributing to them. I think that's exactly right. Now, we don't have to waste time by showing the video, but, I guess we can. Let's go to clip 49 here. We'll do it for a couple seconds. So I want to get your response to this and just my as I'm in frustration, I'm just baffled at the way Trump is responding to this. And I want to play this for a few seconds to get Jay's response on the other side. Here's Trump yesterday when he's asked about Jeffrey Epstein.
And no, he made a statement about me and Jeffrey Epstein. I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. And in fact, if you look at the DOJ, they announced, you know, they released 3 million pages. It's like this is all they're supposed to be doing. And frankly, the DOJ, I think, should just say, we have other things to do, because that whole thing has turned out. I mean, other than Bill Clinton and, you know, Bill Gates and lots of people that have, there are a lot of questions about it, but nothing right, but on
there,
me.
There it is. He basically says, hey, the DOJ's got better things to worry about. And it's like, does he not know what has been exposed here? It's like, he thinks that it's an attack on him. So he's like, you know, refusing to acknowledge it. It's like, dude, all of your enemies are exposed here and you don't even know it. What do you think is happening with Trump right now?
You know, it's hard to say. I've not seen a specific piece of data yet that confirms that there's an involvement at that level with him. I mean, and like Alex says, like, I'm open to being corrected, or if there's something. I know there was photos that were going around. Some of those were AI. And those obviously, I think, were debunkable pretty easily. You can see multiple extra fingers that people had. So, right. I think it's important too to not immediately jump on, a lot of these without kind of looking and checking. So be sure and like look at the files to make sure, you know, that a lot of these are actually there. That photo, for example, that was going around was a fake, that was a fake one of Trump. That one wasn't in the archives or the files. So,
right.
But I mean, you can find the ones where it's like, Epstein has a contract with the Rothschild group for $25 million. I mean, that stuff's real. Epstein's flying for three decades almost, CIA planes. Why is he flying CIA planes for three decades?
Or why is Marco Rubio, being credited as being the original funder of the dossier, for right. Russiagate? Like, this is the thing. I think the people around Trump are going, you know, this Epstein stuff, it's all about attacking you, and really you're the, and it's funny to me because he's so concerned about his image that he seems to be only concerned about the wolf thing. And he's like, oh, I'm not being accused, am I? And I'm innocent. And it's like, if he was less concerned about protecting his image and just looked at the Epstein files, then he could round up this cabal of criminals and his image would be of the savior of the republic and he could be a hero. But it's like, he's so intent on protecting his image that he's missing the bigger picture that would actually help his image rise. I mean, I had the story today. His poll numbers are down across the board. Every single topic people polled about Trump, and he's failing and disappointing everybody. And it's like, dude, that's the problem. It's not because Michael Wolff is lying about you. It's because you're so concerned about your image that your image is being destroyed. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, to people in the establishment who still are focused largely on establishment perspectives. And, you know, Trump was always looking at boomer news to see what the boomers are saying. And it's like, there's millions and billions of views right now on Twitter. How many people are getting the information and the news from the mainstream media, which right. is not really even talking about this except for people trying to, you know, run cover and run point for this stuff, like Ben Shapiro saying, oh, it's all rumors. There's nothing there. Don't look at it. So it's a huge mistake to not, you know, hone in on this. But, there was another element too, and I'm trying to change the subject, but I didn't want to forget that, you know, over the years, a lot of the new atheists who are right. these supposedly rabid rationalists, well, it turns out they're all also very close to and flying on the Epstein flights many, many times. Why are all the new atheists so closely connected to this international crime figure? Interesting question.
That's a very good question. And it actually, I just thought of this. I mean, it makes sense that Ghislaine Maxwell was like head of Reddit. And I mean, during the rise of the new atheism movement, which really did do severe damage to, you know, faith in America, especially because you had so many people, you know, pushing this material of supposedly very intelligent people debunking Christianity, and you really didn't have a big push back against that. And a lot of that happened on Reddit. I mean, clearly that had a lot of elements of a manipulated narrative.
It does. You know, I've suspected for a long time that they're not actually atheists, that they worship something else. We also have the Dalai Lama as another one of the figures implicated here, meeting with and being very close to Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, people saw pictures, videos of the Dalai Lama licking young boys on the mouth. So This vindicates, by the way, the declassification that was that's been out for a while, that the Free Tibet program was also a CIA-run program, and that's why the Dalai Lama would be an asset. We have a lot of Hollywood people, too. We can't forget mentions of bringing Jane Fonda, Robert De Niro to various events. They're described as the useful goyim at the events. We have, you know, Jay-Z seems to be closely associated to some degree here. And Jay-Z curiously removed everything from his Instagram. So I'm not sure why he would have done that.
And fled the country, apparently. I thought it was a joke, but then I saw, I think it was The Independent reported that he'd actually fled the country.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, too, that there are many models. There was a famous Russian model, Ruslana Korshinova, who went to Epstein's Island when she was 18. And then 2 years later, she jumped out of her ninth floor apartment. So, again, that's not hard to understand now that we have the email saying you have permission to kill. Did you kill her? Blah, blah, blah. All these emails referring to assassinations. We have Leonardo DiCaprio, Epstein saying to Peter Mandelson, who I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that he stepped down too. So we have multiple people, by the way, stepping down, like heads of state, UN people stepping down. And, Epstein sends an email to Peter Mandelson and says, hey, our good buddy Leonardo DiCaprio is looking for endorsements, in other countries. Can you help us set that up? So again, I mean, he's just literally like a fixer, networker, you know, organized crime consultant for everybody. It's so crazy.
Well, and that, and it seems like it doesn't make any sense, but then, you know, cause what Jeffrey Epstein was, he was a Bond villain, but he was more like James Bond for the bad guys, right? I mean, he was an agent. He was a secret agent. And, you know, when Bond goes to play poker with Lashif, he's an industrial magnate. But when he goes to do something else, he's playing a different role. He's just a spy or like a mobster. Yeah. You know, Tony Soprano, what is he, construction guy or is he a pornography
sanitation
guy or is he a this? Well, he does a little bit of everything. He's a connector.
Sanitation. Take care of the bodies. A good little sanitation. Take the bodies. Take the trash out.
Yeah, and you become a millionaire that way, of course, right? It's like, no, his day job was shaking people down. His day job was putting people with stuff in connection with people that wanted to steal that stuff. I mean, that's what these people do. So it's just amazing. It is beyond vindication for us here at InfoWars, but for you as well, of course. What's next for you, Jay, and how can people support you, and how can they find the book?
Well, you can go to my YouTube channel where I've been live streaming this for 4 days straight. I just did a big interview with Dasha Nekrasova, the actress and artist producer, and she did a movie a while back. They didn't get a lot of attention. It was called The Scary of 61st, and the movie is actually kind of about the Epstein stuff, and she did that movie, I think, in 2019, 2020. It has a lot of really deep esoteric occult stuff in it, but and everybody sort of poo-pooed it at the time, but she's kind of been vindicated. So I just did an interview with her. You can check that out. You can also get my books at jaysanalysis.com in the shop. And it's always signed copies if you get the book from me.
jaysanalysis.com. Thank you for being with us.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones. And they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. That part of that is... But the second part is, okay, if you're out there, you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Epstein is Pizzagate. Let that sink in for a minute. Jeffrey Epstein is Pizzagate. 10 years ago, Pizzagate was by far the number one trending topic on Twitter. But the claim of pedophile elites who preyed on children was so insane that Pizzagate was shrugged off as a wild fever dream of a conspiracy theory. I was the first mainstream reporter to dare give the facts surrounding Pizzagate. My corporate career was destroyed over it, so what? My professional reputation was obliterated. That wasn't fun. And I wasn't the only one. Anyone who dared to suggest that this might be true was blacklisted, shadow banned, or thrown off of social media. But then, just days ago, the largest dump of Epstein files revealed what some of us have been telling you for a decade, that Pizzagate is real. Not that there is a pizza parlor at the center of a child trafficking ring, but that child trafficking rings run by some of the most powerful people in the world do exist. Tonight, I want to remind you of what I told you then and compare that to what we have now learned. Well, Pizzagate, it became a major story weeks ago when an armed man decided to investigate a D.C. area pizza place for himself. This man right here, he carried a rifle into a pizza parlor and then fired it at the floor. Media is telling you the entire story is a hoax or fake news. But what does that even mean? I spent the last month investigating. So what exactly is Pizzagate? Well, the story that came to be known as Pizzagate did not begin with a rumor, nor was it created by Macedonian sheep farmers, as CNN actually once claimed. It began with WikiLeaks, authentic, verified emails taken from the phone of the chairman of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, John Podesta. Those emails were real. In all these years, by the way, no one has actually disputed that. Inside those emails were communications that struck a lot of people, not just online commentators, but researchers and former law enforcement, as unusual to say the least. References to pizza and to pizza handkerchiefs and to maps, to private gatherings involving powerful people, some very bizarre stuff. In fact, the first people to draw attention to those emails were a group of self-proclaimed pedophiles on 4chan and 8chan who claimed that Podesta was using the same terminology that they use to speak encoded language. And in researching those emails, I found a 2010 entry into Urban Dictionary. It's still there, by the way. It confirms that cheese pizza is a commonly coded term for child pornography, CP.
I want you to see these images here. These are the images. Notice this one on the end, the triangle. That image signifies something called boy love. The pizza place next door to Comet Ping Pong Pizza, Besta Pizza, well, this was their logo until only a few weeks ago. Clearly, you can see that the Besta logo actually contains the same image, I'm going to show you again, as that boy lover image. Interestingly, after Pizzagate investigators pointed this out, Besta Pizza changed their logo, and there it is now. They removed the triangle.
Yeah, 10 years ago, I was called a dangerous conspiracy theorist and a madman for claiming that pedophiles and possibly even pedophile elites might use coded language, even though it was online pedophiles who said that's exactly what they do. Which brings us back to this new Epstein release, because in it, the word pizza is mentioned 911 times.
All that's right. That is great. Ben times. Swan making his triumphant return, I guess you could say, to Pizzagate, the story that really made him famous and ruined his life for a while. And of course, you know, we'd been talking about this. We covered Pizzagate at the time. But it's a little different than when we do it. And I think the real crime of Ben Swan was showing everybody what it would have looked like if the mainstream media did its job. I mean, he was a mainstream media reporter for a local news outlet, I think in Ohio at the time, and he just did a thing where he looked into stories that other people didn't look into, and he treated it just like he treated every other story, and it was an absolute bombshell. And you can just imagine if the rest of the mainstream media had that level of commitment to the truth. And don't forget, Vince Vaughn really first blew up because he exposed the way they cheated Ron Paul out of the presidency. So he's been in this for a long time. It's good to see him vindicated.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globals call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Folks.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on The War Room with live streams firing on X and band.video.
Share those links, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to do something special here for this segment. I'm going to play a long report that I put together using clips purely of people involved in the Jewish diaspora, including Benjamin Netanyahu and Jonathan Greenblatt and people who typically are portrayed as being on opposite ends of a political spectrum. In fact, copying each other word for word in their unified push to take over the world. So we're going to go to that. It's a long video called The Eighth Front that I put up on X yesterday. I really would love if you would share it. I worked really hard on it, and I think it tells a very good story. So we'll go to that in just a second. I do want to do a couple things here. I want to remind you we will be opening up the phone lines in the next segment. I'll take your calls in the last part of the hour. But also encourage you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. I cannot tell you how fantastic it is, personally, just purely out of my own, you know, for my own benefit, having an outlet like InfoWars that I can tell the truth on and not be afraid that some corporate interloper is going to get mad at us and shut us down or anything. I mean, they are shutting us down. We will be shut down, but we'll survive regardless. I mean, we've already won. It's amazing being a part of this organization that has victory secured and has secured victory for the world if we all just, you know, get on board with the exact agenda that Alex Jones has been laying out this whole time. So I cannot tell you how wonderful it is to be able to just speak the truth without fear. And hopefully we can be a model for more people into the future. And if you want to support us in this mission, this singular mission to simply hammer out the truth, regardless of who wants us to stop, we won't stop as long as you go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. Today is your last day to take advantage of the introductory sale for Mind Fuel. Mind Fuel is an incredible nootropic drink. It comes with a bunch of little bottles. Each little bottle is like a day's supply. And, you know, it's like the name brand time-oriented energy shots, only it doesn't taste like chemicals. It doesn't make you crash because it's full of caffeine. In fact, it has no caffeine, has no sugar, but it has incredible healthy energy from nootropic sources. Clean, fast-acting liquid format that actually tastes very good. You don't have to, you know, drink a chaser with it like you do with some of the other name brand energy shots. No, this shot is actually delicious. It's designed for daily use, work research, long days, and high focus moments. It provides clean mental energy without jitters or crashes, helps improve focus, clarity, and mental drive. It supports sustained performance when reading, thinking, or going live, and leaves you feeling alert, calm, and in control, not overstimulated. So with no caffeine, it means no dependency, no spike and crash cycle. It works for everyone, not just gym users or STEM junkies, although gym users will appreciate it. It's easy to take, easy to talk about, and you definitely feel it. It's a true secret weapon for mental performance under pressure. And get it now, and you get a free bottle of Atomic Defense along with it. So do not wait. That sale ends today. If you want to try the new nootropic energy shot from thealexjonesstore.com, Mind Fuel, get it today, and you get that free bottle of Atomic Defense along with it. thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, I'm going to go to this video. It's a little under 15 minutes long, and then I'll comment a little bit on the other side. Your phone calls in the next segment. But I put this together. Most of the videos are from within the last year or so. They are taken out of context with, you know, in full admission, just because I don't want to get sued by some of these people. If they're like, I didn't actually say that. Well, you did. You just maybe didn't want it to be portrayed in this way. But I'm very proud of this, and I really, really would love if you have an X account, if you could go retweet it. If you want to download it and upload it yourself. I really worked hard on this, and I'm not benefiting from it. I just really, really, really want people to see this because I really think it sends a message that needs to be received. So just out of the kindness of your heart, if you can find it in your heart to click the share button, I would really deeply appreciate it. Now, here it is. It's called The Eighth Front, Israel's War on Reality. You can find it now on my X account at Harrison H. Smith. It's the pinned comment. Let's watch.
I think there's another revolution coming. I tend to steer it along with the achievement of a broader peace. When history is within reach.
So what Israel is fighting here is not merely a seven front war, but an eighth front war.
It's called the Jews against Rome.
Rome and Jerusalem clashed over values with a great tragedy for the Jewish people.
Well, we lost that one.
We have to win the next one. But the new Rome, the United States,
Jews against Rome.
We stopped playing defense and have moved to offense.
The weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well.
But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle.
Well, we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are the social media.
Because the next war will be decided based on how Israel and its allies perform online as much as offline.
This is the Eighth Front, the disinformation campaign.
It is actually this Eighth Front where our enemies believe they can actually defeat the Jewish state.
This is the kind of ingenuity and inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the state of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. I know we can do it.
A lot of this is done with money.
Invested billions and billions of dollars in the information battlefield.
Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster.
We prohibit harmful stereotypes about Jewish people, such as claims that Jews control financial, political, or media institutions.
You're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them.
We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency.
Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters.
Podcasts, short-form video, Wikipedia, LLM.
American haters, Churchill haters.
We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
You think your stupid little podcast is going to change the world like hell it is?
Social media, this is the new battlefield.
You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged Nazi.
We do not allow Holocaust denial and distortion.
And the most important purchase that is going on right now is
TikTok,
number one.
For every 30 minutes that someone watches TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic.
So you have TikTok just smashing our young people's brains all day long with video of carnage in Gaza.
We really have a TikTok problem.
Because anything that we try to say to them, they are hearing it through this wall of carnage, and I sound obscene.
Anti-Zionism is just Jew hatred.
We made a change.
We updated our policies
to designate the use of the term Zionist.
To recognize that the term Zionist
as a proxy for a protected attribute
can be used as a proxy for Jews and Israelis
as hate speech.
Why can't Israel be doing some sort of, you know, counterintelligence?
Right now, the ADL is co-writing Sunday school curriculum.
Information warfare like this.
It's building the technology to train the LLMs more effectively.
Like a psychological operations in America.
As part of a robust framework to combat anti-Semitism, we have industry-leading policies designed with the safety of the Jewish community in mind.
You're right. We control the media. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to bitch on Twitter? Like, okay. Meanwhile, we're going to control more of the media.
And working with OpenAI, with Alphabet, with Anthropic, with Meta, with Microsoft, we are working with them now to train the LLMs.
We also have, I think, over two dozen Jewish organizations that are constantly feeding us intelligence and information.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full-time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists.
Monitoring campuses, digital networks, activist groups, and public officials.
We have several PhDs on staff. We have a network of academics and scholars we work with around the country.
I've talked to the leaders of AI in the world, and you ask yourself, there's so many blessings in this, but there could be a curse.
First thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model.
We need to invest in intelligence to understand who are the anti-Semites, who's funding them, what's their plan, who are the leaders, and then once we have that, we can define who is an enemy we can attack.
You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
Once we have all this information, we need to empower and mobilize an ecosystem of many organizations that we can incentivize them to work together, to share, and to fight against our common enemies.
Mobilizing millions of people, of allies, that are quietly by our side.
Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
You know, anti-Semites, most of these people running around, we're not going to win their hearts and minds because they don't have hearts and they don't have minds. So, you know, how are we going to, there's no reason to think we're ever going to convince them, but we can deport them, we can put them in jail, we can make their lives miserable, we can cut off their funding.
You've got all these conspiracy theorists online going on and on and on about how, you know, if you try and say anything, if you try and do anything against Jews, they're going to come after you.
We have featured more than 1,000 anti-Semites.
And they're going to destroy you and take away your business, and therefore you have to be really, really scared.
These Jew haters have faced real consequences, including firings, suspensions, and expulsions.
And it's kind of starting to come true.
We will shine a light on you that will follow you for the rest of your life. When you look for a job, when you look for a spouse, when you look for a nanny, when you look for anything.
And I love that. I love it.
We remove hate speech against Zionists when these harmful stereotypes about Jews are invoked.
In the past 12 months, ADL's filed more lawsuits than in the prior 112 years.
Over the weekend, I received concerning news that I was being sued for $5 million.
Vicious, communist, racist, Jew-hating, Israel-bashing monster.
Defendant frequently posts anti-Israel rhetoric accusing Israel of controlling the United States and its politicians.
We at the ZOA will fight these dangerous and monstrous lies with all of our hearts and souls. No appeasement, no conciliation, only a war against this racist hatred of the Jewish people.
When there is a war, it doesn't matter who your enemy is. You need to destroy their offspring to prevent them from creating more offspring.
What you're trying to do is you want to corral your victim, but in fact, your countries are the victim. So you dehumanize a group of people in human society, and you prepare them for the kill, for the butchery.
A government can do in 2 months more than any organization can do in its lifetime.
The J7 is comprised of the 7 largest diaspora communities. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices.
And we're running everything all the time, from focus groups to attitudinal surveys to like randomized controlled trials to identify what interventions work most effectively.
Finally, we have meetings that are some off the record, some on the record, with world leaders in which we share our community's concerns and call for action.
The entire education system in this country, from K through 12 in colleges, must be reformed.
But it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it.
The way we solve anti-Semitism is pretty goddamn simple.
Take control over what they are saying.
Send their ass to jail. It's not complicated.
And quickly, before it's too late.
We're monitoring political Islamists and Christian nationalists, all of them. And then we train. We're the largest trainer of law enforcement in America, extremism hate. We train 20,000 officers every year.
Try that again.
We're here because of those comments made online about the Jewish community.
We deeply value our partnership with law enforcement. We've been working with them literally since the FBI was founded in the 1930s.
Is that your account?
That guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians, that can probably incite somebody to do something radical. That's what we're here to talk about, to refrain from posting things like that.
We are going to have a whole division within the office of the Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism that is going to work on technology.
We must take all of our technological expertise and all of our available resources to develop methods to launch and win a significant counter-information campaign.
The products of our technical capacities and sometimes technical and intelligence genius, and we're happy to do it.
The office is going to be revamped entirely to be one of the highest profile offices in the State Department.
Because it's not working. Too many young people have never heard of the Holocaust.
The only solution right now is for the governments to decide that all the Jews are a protected minority. That means that the governments will be obliged to provide the security.
Upgrades to security. Jewish community shouldn't have to be paying for it.
But we have to pay for our own armed guards? Are you serious?
To fund institutions, culture, and that everybody in Europe will learn about the Jewish contribution and why they should cherish Jewish presence.
All your synagogues, all your shul, all paid for. Everything. Everything that you need is paid for. I, for one, as a Jewish leader, will no longer talk about anti-Semitism in isolation from Israel. It's what we want immediately, if you ask any Jew, what do you want? What do you want? No more protests. No more protests.
I'm not an anti-Semite. I just don't like the government of Bibi Netanyahu. No, you're a Jew hater.
Would a group be banned if it accuses Israel of genocide or apartheid?
If those criteria are satisfied, then that is the case.
Any candidate running for a seat in this building, whether for Congress or Senate, we will target them as they target us. Accordingly, we will start a fund to help their opponents.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel so we become another capital finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade as a second capital of finance. It's going to be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world.
So we heard earlier about a goal to bring a million immigrants to Israel.
History has proven that when a country starts with allowing anti-Semitism, the results are not kind to that country.
I want to make a warning to somebody else, and that's American Gentiles. The minute your country is taken over by anti-Semitism, the minute you start to be a country that's not blessing Israel but cursing Israel, you have begun the process of shrinking and away from your empire.
And you can decide. You can stay here in New York in a declining empire, or you can come to Israel, which is part of the rising middle of the world, which is moving south and east. That's what I encourage you to do.
Our faith in the American project itself has been shaken. The only serious answer to this challenge is to believe again that being Jewish is the most important thing in the world.
When we're kicked out of America and America, you know, the whole thing is done, the whole American Jewish project is done, we're gonna be fine.
For decades, American society allowed Jews to live normal lives. This was a pleasant holiday from our destiny. The holiday is over.
The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people are not normal. We never really were.
And now that Israel has turned the entire geopolitical situation on its head, our job in the diaspora is to leverage those wins and win here. Do to our enemies here what Israel did to its enemies there.
And to the world, I say this. History will not remember those who merely denounced hatred in polite language. History will remember those who acted.
This is a small bunch of wannabe Nazis. That's what they are.
Anti-Semitism is pure evil.
If we have to hunt you down the way they hunted down Nazis for decades, we will find your identities. We will find you. We will achieve justice.
I think we're at the cusp of a new age, because I think that we will achieve the expansion of peace. I think that we are in a new age because I think that the possibilities of technology, with their risks, especially in AI, but with their positive benefits, are enormous in every field. I mean, from agriculture to health to transportation to... And I think that we are together. We can lead this and become not a secondary power, but a primary power.
All right, there you go. Find and share it now on my ex at Harrison H. Smith, and you can also find it on YouTube. You can just search Moonbase Live. It's called The Eighth Front, Israel's War on Reality. And I'm just sort of tongue-in-cheek here saying I might get killed for posting this. But, you know, I have other people going, oh, 14 minutes of anti-Semitism. It's like, well, I didn't say anything, actually. Actually, that's all them just saying things and me just putting it in order, actually. So that's why I'm, you know, particularly encouraging people to share this around, because you really can't claim that it's been, you know, misconstrued. It's literally them telling you their plan. And essentially their plan is to tell every Western country, especially America, you either submit to total Jewish control, meaning that like First Amendment has to go away because you can't criticize them. They have to have censors in every big tech company. And like either you capitulate to that or like you're going to be destroyed. And I mean, they're the ones saying America's a dying empire and Jews, you're not American. You should be Jewish. I mean, that's what the guy, the Tikva guy, he's saying, you know, being Jewish is the most important thing in the world. He's signaling to American Jews, hey, be loyal to us, not your nation. So my message to American Jews is you're kind of the only ones that can solve this issue right now. Like, we kind of need you to be throwing all of these scumbags that you just watched out of your community and letting everybody know that you don't stand with them. Because everybody we just saw in that video is a despicable tyrant. And you should not be associated with them. And they want to use Judaism as a shield and as a weapon and as a lever to manipulate you and manipulate us and manipulate the world. Don't let them. Okay? You can see what their, you know, intentions are. And according to them, America is a declining empire. Now, that's not because that's just happening and they're telling you how to respond to that. They're saying we're collapsing America and moving to Israel, so you better come along with us and know where your loyalty lies. I think that's sort of treasonous, actually. Actually, I think that's a pretty despicable way to be, and you don't have to stand for it, and you shouldn't stand for it, no matter what your race, color, or your creed. I think we should all be against what we just saw, which was just how the very many ways that private-public partnerships can be used to wield blackmail or the force of law to silence opposition to a giant criminal cabal that has spent the last 2.5 years murdering as many people as they can in Gaza, which is why I kept going back to that thing. And one of the things I noticed as I'm editing hours and hours and hours of this stuff, there's no like virtue that they're putting forward. There's no like, you know, we have to do this because, you know, peace on earth and charity and generosity. It's all just, we have to protect ourselves. We have to fight for ourselves. We have to stop people criticizing ourselves. There's no higher goals here. There's no higher values. All of these people are just, they want pure power. They want nothing other than, you know, to be celebrated and honored and listened to. They don't justify it with any corresponding virtue. It's all just selfishness from these people. So you can reject that. Everybody can reject that and understand that they're weaponizing the Jewish population for themselves, not for the wider Jewish community. Share that link, won't you? It's on YouTube as well.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've heard about methylene blue. Well, we have the best. 7 years ago, my medical doctor told me, get on any USP-grade methylene blue. Just buy it online. So I did. Really didn't feel anything. My wife felt some energy. I knew it was good for my mitochondria and cells and the telomeres and things, but I kind of forgot to take it because the results weren't that dramatic. Then my main sponsor, Bigley, almost a year ago, said, try this. We have true USP medical grade out of Florida. This company actually makes it for the medical system, but they're letting us buy it and put it out. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. 15 minutes after I took it, I felt electricity through my hands and body, surging energy. It was actually kind of scary. Then it peaked in about an hour, and then no letdown. You can take this stuff and go to sleep. My workouts got better. My clarity, my focus, it's really been crazy. So, you know, the news and information we cover is super accurate. You know, the guests we have on have track records of being super accurate. I don't promote anything that isn't bona fide and real. So for all of you that have been on the fence out there, believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get our ultra methylene blue. It is simply insane. I've given it to almost every guest that's come in on the show. I forget sometimes. And every guest has had from dramatic to insanely incredible results while they're still on the air for an hour. So here's some excerpts of what they had to say about it. You took methylene blue about 30 minutes ago. Are you feeling it?
I think I am. I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it. Unlimited power! Ah! Ah! Yeah!
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
You totally feel the difference. I use the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesshore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls. And what we're going to do today is I'm just going to try to get to as many calls as possible. So we'll open up the phone lines now. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Taking your calls now. We'll get those in as quickly as possible. And when we do, well, usually what happens is people call in and they're sort of a back and forth or they'll bring up something and I'll respond to it. I'm going to try not to respond too much because what ends up happening is I just end up rambling for a long time. We don't get to that. So I'm going to go to your call, get your comment, say thank you for the comment, and then go on to the next call. So obviously the calls are about Jeffrey Epstein. What do you think about what's been revealed from Jeffrey Epstein? Have we missed anything? Is there anything that we haven't covered that you think we should? What do you think about Trump's response? Give us a call. The number again, 1-877 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Now taking your calls. So we do have some breaking news that has broken while we've been live here that I want to share with you. For one thing, it's been revealed that Todd Blanche did not notify the White House when he removed Ed Martin from Weaponization Group, even though Trump personally hired Martin for the job. On Monday, the Gateway Pundit's Christina Lila reported the Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche fired Ed Martin as chief of the Justice Department's Weaponization Working Group. This was first reported by investigative journalist Paul Sperry. But then apparently it's been revealed that Todd Blanche did this without the approval of the White House. Deputy AG Todd Blanche did not tell the White House he was removing Ed Martin from the Weaponization Working Group after he told Martin he was dismissing him as director during a December 10th meeting at the DOJ, even though Trump personally appointed Martin. And of course, Alex broke this down thoroughly on his show today, and you can find a link to that on X or at the article on Gateway Pundit. We also have some very good news here. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons has recommended against gender transition surgeries for youth, becoming the first major medical association to do so. Congratulations, folks. We have one major medical association willing to acknowledge basic human biology. It's a revelation. It's a watershed moment, folks. And we should all celebrate this return to basic reality. Megatron Ron on X, Tel Aviv is making intense efforts to prevent an agreement between the Iranians and the Americans, which I'm not exactly surprised about, but that's very interesting when in light of the fact that we shot drones, Iranian drones out of the sky earlier today. That sort of goes along with what I was saying. I think Iran's kind of getting sick of just endlessly being menaced and is thinking if we can just get an agreement with the U.S., we'll be fine. But of course, Israel does not want any agreement whatsoever between Iran and the U.S. They want Iran destroyed by the U.S. So they'll try to prevent any sort of normal relationships between our two countries. And I'll just say, in light of the video we just showed in the last part, the question that keeps running through my head is, if Israel will use America to destroy Iran, will they also use China to destroy America? I wonder. Republican Senate Leader John Thune says they will likely not use a standing filibuster to pass the SAVE Act. He says there would be too many ramifications if they did. We can't get our own party to pass voter ID. Then what is the point of voting Republican? That's a great question. Question we keep lacking an answer to. And finally, James O'Keefe has come out with a new hidden camera report. Caught on hidden camera, FBI official admits Minnesota fraud investigations will result in zero arrests. Saying, quote, I don't think anybody in the daycare fraud criminal scandal will ever go to prison. We, the DOJ or FBI, are just going to point somebody by the time the case is done, even being looked at and ready to go to court. Trump won't even be in office anymore. They also say that Kash Patel is not good at his job, that Patel just wasn't ready, basically laughing at him for being incapable of getting the FBI to do what they should be doing. How funny is that? This is now the seventh FBI or DOJ officials that O'Keefe Media has caught on hidden camera in the last year, admitting the same reality. No arrest, no urgency, no accountability. Why does it take a hidden camera and a night out with a complete stranger to get the truth? Our system is broken. The American people deserve better. Yeah. Yeah, we do. No, we really do. No arrests likely coming. I mean, it's not exactly a surprise. But then again, anybody even tangentially involved, I watched a little bit of the video during one of the breaks. And, you know, the guy is saying, well, you know, they're financial fraud cases and they're so complicated. It takes years to even bring a, you know, a case to court and blah, blah. It's like, okay, but if all of them involved are on visas, if all of them involved are foreigners that are either naturalized or asylum seekers or just immigrants of any sort, then you can just kick them out. I mean, you don't have to go through the whole process of proving everything about the crime they committed. I mean, suspicion enough is enough to withdraw the gift that we gave them of citizenship. They don't have that by birth. They don't have a right to citizenship. And when they become citizens or when they enter our country, certainly when they become citizens, they take certain oaths. But anybody coming into our country to apply for any sort of visa has agreed not to engage in criminal behavior. And if they have, or if they've covered it up, or if they benefited in any way from it, then you don't have to treat them like an American citizen who deserves a trial and a right to defend themselves in the Fifth Amendment. These are foreigners that are just robbing from us. They're just plundering. I mean, you think of them like Viking raiders plundering, you know, foreigners and then escaping back to their home countries. I mean, that's what they're doing. You don't need to treat them like an American committing crimes against a fellow American. These are foreigners committing crimes against all of us collectively. Collectively, they can be punished. That's my take on it. With that, we got to your calls. Actually, I'm going to forget to do this if I don't do it now, because I got to remind you one more time that nootropic energy shot Mind Fuel, which is just tastes great, incredibly powerful, no caffeine, no sugar, super healthy, great energy, no crash whatsoever. It's called Mind Fuel, and you get a whole bunch of these little shots, and they're extremely powerful, but there's no crash. You're not going to get a headache like you might from some of the other energy shots. Again, we've taken the concept of like the five-hour energy shot, and we've just made it what it should have always been: healthy, good, clean, pure energy, not some sort of chemical stew that just overloads you with caffeine and sugar to make you feel like something's happening. No, we got the real deal, folks. Nootropic energy shot Mind Fuel. It's from Optimal Human, which if you've tried any of the Optimal Human products, you know that they're the real deal. You know that they're legit and powerful. And so go now to thealexjonesstore.com. If you get Mind Fuel today, you get a free bottle of Atomic Defense, another incredibly popular and powerful supplement from thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, to let them know who sent you. And you can save 50% off for life if you subscribe to things like nootropic Mind Fuel, nootropic energy shot, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Methylene Red, also 50% off if you sign up for the regular deliveries. An extremely potent and powerful formula. With that, now we got to the phone calls. James in California, thank you for calling in about why the Epstein dumpster fire. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Harrison. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. My comment is, what is the particular timing of dumping the documents now? I mean, they could have dumped it for last week, month ago, a couple months ago, or next month. But why now? Well, I looked at it this way. Today is the third-year anniversary of the East Palestine train derailment. Senator Vance was a Vice President J.D. Vance was a senator of Ohio at that time. There was an undisclosed Chinese spy balloon that was flying over Ohio at that time. If you go to crucifixfiles.com, crucifixfiles.com, you can see satellite imagery of this balloon traversing across. So to me, it may be delusions of grandeur on my part, but I've been studying this for almost 3 years now since the night of it. Something is hinky about the timing of it. I think Vance at one time knew about it before today, but not right at the beginning. And I think they may be trying to wag the dog and distract from, with the Epstein stuff, distract from the East Palestine train derailment, which is being completely ignored by the press. So that's all I needed to say. And thank you for your effort in the fight.
Well, fascinating take, and thank you for reminding us. I mean, just so much crazy stuff goes on. It's like the Chinese weather balloon and the East Palestine. These things in any normal, you know, time period would have caused like major upheavals, but it's just another story that most people forget about these days. So thank you for reminding us. Very interesting. The timing is, I don't know, baffling, because a lot of stuff's going on right now that could be distracting from. Sorry, I'm not commenting. I'm just going to your calls. Thank you, James, for the call. Baker in California. Go ahead. Line two, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, man. It's good to talk to you, not 5 o'clock in the morning, dude. So it's good to see you in War Room.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, no, dude, I was waking up early just to, like, listen to your show, man. But, yeah, dude, so what I'm worried about is, hey, what's going to happen? Like, what are the elite going to initiate in order to, like, prevent this from, like, getting to the general public?
Right.
That's what I'm worried about. And a lot of the conservative media, dude, they're not even touching this because of the Jewish thing. And it's like, I almost hate them more than, like, the liberal media, because the liberal media, at least you know your enemy, and they were forced to defend things that nobody likes, the establishment. But, sorry, dude. The reason I say that this whole Jewish thing is going to be the heart of it, because it really is, man. It's really going to be the heart of all this, because these people who, like, saying that these are God's chosen people and we can't criticize any Jews. Like, we're not even able to discuss this, man. Like, all these NPR moms and soccer moms who, like, are realizing the whole Epstein thing. Like, you think the 14, 15-year-old girl thing is bad. What's going to – people's minds are going to shatter, dude.
Yeah.
When they realize that, like
– Yeah. No, go ahead. Keep going.
No, dude, when they realize that, like, human-animal hybrids are, like, eating and raping and torturing kids. Like, what? How are people going to handle that? Like
– Oof. No, it's it. No, it's
there.
No, you're exactly right. And look, it is crazy not to be covering this right now. I mean, for the audience, look at who's covering it and who's not. Look at who's really reporting on this and who isn't, because this is a litmus test right now. And if you are covering, if you're not covering this, if you're claiming that that Jeffrey Epstein is a KGB spy, which is crazy on the face of it. I mean, it's crazy to say he's a Russian. It's even crazier to say that he's the KGB, because that hasn't existed since the USSR collapsed 37 years ago. So just insane. Anybody saying that is in on it, is what the conclusion is. Anybody who is not covering this in the media is in on it and is deliberately keeping their audience ignorant. And that you should be offended that they're doing that. So incredible stuff. Thank you for the call, Baker. Dean in Arizona is up next. Go ahead, Dean. You're on the air.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for calling in.
I told the screener that my background is special operations for 18 years. I have an 18 Zulu, an 18 Foxtrot, ASOP level 4 graduate. Oh. I've been directly exposed to just about everything you guys talk about,
right,
with the exception of Epstein and all that stuff. There is no delusion occurring in the American population except the one they always refuse to pay attention to, period. Give the average American a smartphone and a social media page and they're happy. Cheap gas helps. This is dynamite, what you guys have been covering with Alex's interview for an hour and a half. I was riveted. I watched it all the way through. There's clearly, what do we used to call it? Optical validation. Mm-hmm. When you can look at somebody and look them in the eyes and listen to what they're saying and tell the difference.
Can you expand on that? Sorry, I'm not sure I understand that. What did you mean by that?
Optical clarity. It's when you listen to somebody speaking. It's taught at ASOT 3 and 4. You listen to them speaking or you read text and you're trained how to discern theory from reality from bullcrap.
Okay.
You guys would have it too. You've been around the media long enough. This is my first time calling into a show because I fly a really low radar. But this stuff today is worth supporting you folks for. I'm going to buy some of your stuff. I've used methylene blue. And it is exactly what you guys say it is. It is exactly that. I'm also a retired trauma nurse. I was an 19 Delta SF medic. And we use methylene blue, just like you had in your ad a little while ago. It gets into the neuroreceptors. And we used to use it to trace specific types of neural bleeds. And that was 15 years ago. But first time I used it, and I'm not pushing the products because I'm paid to or anything like that. You guys are absolutely cutting edge badass. Absolutely cutting edge badass.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm getting ready to move to Pensacola, Florida. I've had enough of Arizona because it's way too much California that's moved here. The nature of traffic has even gotten worse in this little town of 13,000 people.
Well, yeah, Arizona.
That's not to insult anybody there. But,
well, you look at what happened on election night in Arizona. Arizona's got some problems, man. Y'all are a little too purple for my liking, too. Well, thank you so much for the call, Dean. Thank you so much for supporting us. I do hope people can go to thealexjonesstore.com. And the really beautiful thing is, just like, you know, we always say, I mean, it's as pure as you can get. We deliver the news. If you like what we do, you go to the store and support us, and we continue to do what we do. If you don't support us, we go away. It really is as simple as that. And there's no other ulterior motives. Like, it doesn't even make sense for us. Like, we have to sell you good products because we need you to come back to the store. We have to tell you the truth, because if you determine that we're lying, you're not going to listen to us anymore. Like, it's just as pure as it can be. All we have, and this is ironic because people think we have like a bad reputation or something because they've smeared us so much, but our audience knows our reputation is all that we have. Because if we lose our legitimacy with you, our audience, there's nothing keeping you here. There's no big corporate superstructure forcing us down everyone's throat. We're not Don Lemon, who was, you know, granted a position that he never could have earned. And you see that when he gets kicked out of CNN, nobody listens to him anymore. That ain't us, folks. We will not be here if you don't like us, if you don't find our information valuable, if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com, we go away. So thank you for your support. We really do appreciate it, and we do not take it for granted. If you know our audience is actually hardworking people, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to support us. Thank you so much, Dean. God bless, and good luck on your move to Florida. I think that's a good move. Let's go to Rob in Scranton now. Rob, all over the country here today. Rob, you're on the air from the East Coast. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
The man is Jovan H. Pulitzer on X. He's also on Rumble. He is creating a hashtag, burn the voter rolls. That's it. Okay. Hashtag burn the voter rolls.
Hmm.
The Democrats, he explains in the video on his site, that they made voting part of the critical infrastructure. So Trump can do this. This is done. He can wipe them, make everybody prove you're an American, and then vote. You don't have to worry about any of these things. The machine, you know, what they do adding votes is all from the fake voter rolls.
Okay, so wait, let me get this straight. The Democrats said that everything to do with voting is now critical infrastructure, which means that it comes under the purview of Trump. If he wants to declare an emergency or something, then he could destroy the voter rolls, meaning he could wipe out all the records and anybody voting would have to re-register from the beginning.
You should have him on. He's been on Mel Kay, Steve Gardner, Cowboy Logic is the clip he has posted now. He's a real election expert. You know, he's a real dude. He invented the QR code.
It's not. Well,
he's a real tech guy.
Give us his account again.
At Jovan H. Pulitzer.
Okay, we found it here. We pulled it up here.
He's
okay.
Got tons of peer-reviewed books and all that. The guy's totally legit. I watch him every morning. I always learn something. He's a real expert. You got to face facts, man. Lindell got no results. The only person that got locked up was Tina Peters. That was his team she shared her data with.
Right.
So you got to get on it right, guys.
Okay. Well, thank you for the suggestion. I'll look that up. We have it up now. I'll look into it. Thank you for that. I certainly will. I mean, I'm open to anything. I mean, any creative solution to get, you know, something Trump can do. It's like just anything, guys. Come on, please. Let's go to Josh in Tennessee now. Josh, you are going to be on the air on line 9. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, man? I just got this nice-ass trench knife. Sorry for my language. But
You got one of these bad boys with the pretty lady on the side?
It's beautiful, man. It is beautiful. It's solid. It's steel. I'm thinking about attaching it to my shotgun, man. I would make a nice bayonet.
This would make a good bayonet.
Woo! I could pump action with the handle on it. Bam, bam. That'd be great.
That would be cool.
So how you doing tonight, Harrison?
I'm doing great, man. You know, just working. Just working here. Have you tried to throw it? Is it a good throwing knife? Do you know how to throw it? I'll tell you how to throw these knives.
I bought your daggers, though. Your daggers are awesome throwing knives, to be honest.
All right, so the big knife, the way you do it is you have it down by your side, and you flick it like that. You go, whoosh, and it's about 10 to 20 feet. Lethal. Not at home. Don't do this at home. I'm kidding. Actually, don't do that. Don't throw your knife. Don't ever throw your knife. This is, I don't want to be sued for people trying to throw their knives, but it is very fun. If you're an expert, if you're in a circus, if you're in a profession where you can do that safely, I highly encourage it. Otherwise, absolutely not. I forbid it. Do not throw your knife, but you can get a knife at thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you for the call, Josh. Let's go to Tony in Texas now, on the border. Go ahead. Tony, you're on the air.
Well, first of all, you know, Trump is kind of looking like, to me, the captain of the Titanic. And with all this Iranian stuff and this Israeli stuff and Epstein and waving the white flag in Minnesota, it ain't looking too good. My advice to him, Trump, turn that ship around and head back to port, because it hitting that iceberg is going to be a bitch.
Yeah, what do we do about this, man?
Man, I don't have a clue, but it's very aggravating. I mean, the Insurrection Act should have been called a long time ago on what was going on in California and Minnesota. But we went up there, ran the border chief out of there, and sent somebody in and put the white flag up. And just like you said, they're out there stopping people at with checkpoints now, like there's some kind of little Nazi patrol group running their papers. What kind of deal is that? Trump's letting them get away with that crud.
It's totally ridiculous. And I know it's like cliche beyond belief, but I literally put the video in today of Gandalf freeing King Theoden. You ever seen the Two Towers? I mean, it's so like perfect as the imagery of what we're dealing with right now, where you've got this king, this guy who, you know, he's a good dude, but it's like, he just has no idea what's going on. And he's literally being convinced his friends are his enemies. If you remember in Two Towers, they first run into Theoden's nephew, who has been banished because basically he was trying to free Theoden from the pernicious influence of his advisors. And so the advisor is saying, oh, he's against you. You know, I'm your friend and he's trying to hurt you. And I'm just seeing Trump respond to the Epstein list. I'm like, dude, you got worm tongues in your ears going, they're trying to get you with this list. You have to denounce it. It's like, no, dude, you got to wake up. You got to look at the facts and realize that you're the victim here. And you got to throw your enemies out on their ass and stop listening to them. So I don't know where we find our Gandalf to give old King Trump a smack in the head to wake him up. But he's being possessed right now. And it's very iconic, this scene, for a very good reason, because it seems to reflect reality to a disturbing degree. And of course, you know, just like in the movie, you got the king's people who are supposed to be defending him. They think that the cure is the attack. They're trying to stop the guy who's going to free him because their whole world is so inverted. They think that good is bad, bad is good, attacks are, I mean, it's just sad. It is very sad how we got to this point. We got time for one more call. Let's go to Inner City Rogue in Denver on line 6. He has an answer for us. What do we need to tell Trump? Let's go to line 6. Go ahead. You're on the air. 1 minute.
Well, Harrison, you kind of almost nailed it. When it comes to Trump, basically he is under demonic possession, and that's what that is. He's, you know, if you look through history and you look in your Bible, you can see that there are kings appointed by God who were in favor of God, were doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, they started doing bad things and being deceived. And, you know, like a King Solomon, you know, whether it's the women that are around you or, you know, I mean, basically Trump's whole cabinet. I mean, he's surrounded by demons.
Yeah.
So that's really what needs to happen. He needs to be born again, and that's what has not happened yet. We gave him that benefit of the doubt after he got shot, but really what needs to happen is he needs to get born again, and we need to get out there in the streets and force him to answer some questions.
Yeah, maybe Gandalf needs to be Alex Jones with a bullhorn. Maybe that'll wake up Trump like King Theoden. I don't know. I think someone needs to sneak Trump a phone that has X installed so we can just hear this stuff without his advisors getting in the way.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theolive.com.